Jones, this is George Bush, the President of the United States, and I've heard many things that you have, you know, been saying on the internet and other various you know, mediums that are out there. I understand you have problems with you know, the government, and you believe in that. Many you know, conspiracies. But I believe that we can work this out. If you will, you know, take my phone call, we can speak about this stuff. We will work this out. You know, it's diplomacy. You know, diplomatic diplomacy is the way to go. And if the two of us can work this out, and I think we can, we'll definitely have it worked out then. All right. Well, we'll try it back. You know, if you need to keep doing what you're doing, do it. But, okay.
John, Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Frank Caliendo about a year and a half ago on the Man Cow Show, calling into my home answering machine. He's scheduled to join us coming up in Tex Mars in studio, and Webster Tarpley in the last hour today. So that is the broadcast we have lined up for you. A lot of key financial news, geopolitical news happening around the world as well. But back when I got that call from Frank Caliendo, playing the part of George Bush. I actually got another one later, but we never even put it on the air. I told people I thought it was Frank Caliendo, and a few weeks later, when I was back on the Man Cow Show, both of them called me, and I was on air with them, and they said, yeah, your guesstimation was correct. It was Frank Caliendo. And so a lot of people still think on the internet that that's really George Bush. There's hundreds of thousands of views, several videos. One of them's got about 250,000. Another one has about 100,000 views just on YouTube alone, with these huge debates raging and people thinking that George Bush really called me and that I'm somehow in league with George Bush. No, ladies and gentlemen, it's Frank Caliendo, who hosts multiple TV shows, currently has one on CBS and TBS, and be on the show coming up here in just a little while. We'll also have open phones today on any issue that you would like to discuss. I'll open the phones up a little bit later. We're going to be taking calls right now. On a more serious note, nuclear incident would make 9/11 insignificant, Nuclear Commission says. John, did you just say something to me? Oh, okay, good. I didn't hear you there. So we'll be covering that. Nuclear incident would make 9/11 insignificant. That's what a global commission on nukes is saying. But right now, let's go ahead and go to the guy who is, well, pretty much the hottest comedian in the United States right now, Frank Caliendo, starting another TV show tonight. Frank, thanks for coming on with us.
Hey, glad to talk to you.
You bet. You know, a lot of people still think that George Bush really called me.
Hey, Alex, what's going on, man?
Nothing much.
Are you,
are you going to miss Bush leaving office?
Yeah, I think in some ways, you know, but the, I mean, I don't think people are going to forget him. So I think that there's definitely a legacy in many ways. I mean, listen, it's interesting. Some people love the president. There's a lot of people that don't. And he's a two-term president. So I think the one-term presidents get forgotten pretty quickly. Two-term presidents usually have a scandal or two. So, and people, you know, people tend to blame a president, even though there's things that are outside of that president's realm of blame sometimes. But I think that, you know, I think people will definitely know. I am working on the, you know, the McCain and Obama, and more recently I've started working on Obama pretty hard.
Yeah, you're one of the most prolific, if not the most prolific imitators, or somebody who can, you know, basically copy to a T. What's your favorite impersonation right now?
Charles Barkley, because I can call somebody a knucklehead and they don't complain about it.
Give us a Charles Barkley.
See, that guy's a knucklehead. I just want to talk about is a terrible, terrible, really bad knucklehead. And it's, he kind of speaks the truth, the real Charles Barkley. So what I do is I make him a little bit crazy and talk from that perspective. You know, I got followed in by a couple of leprechauns today. Let me tell you something. If you're ever at the end of the rainbow, run with that pot of gold, because those leprechauns will not get rid of you. It's terrible.
Have you ever seen that TV newscast where the people really think there's a leprechaun?
No.
Yeah, just Google leprechaun on the news, and there's people going, I think there's a leprechaun. There he is in the tree. What about a George Bush imitation? Since he's leaving office here, can you tell us how George Bush is feeling about the economy and the whole police state he set up?
Well, I think it's difficult. I mean, I think you're talking about the Patriot Act and whatnot that we're talking about there. We need to know what's going on. We need to understand what's happening in this world, and we need to know what's going on behind closed walls or doors or whatever they're closed. So the next thing is this bailout. I think we have to do it. I think we have to understand that's something that's a necessary necessity of necessity-ness or something.
Well, you're the decider. Have you heard that some people think 9/11 is an inside job, that you did it, Mr. President?
Well, I've heard that. I think that's a... Charles, what do you think that is? I think that's a bunch of knuckleheads. Even Charles Barkley thinks that's crazy. But, people can think what they want to think. I'm willing to be hated to protect this country.
Where were the WMDs, Mr. President?
Well, they're invisible. That's what we found out. They're invisible. They're under a scary thing called the cloak of invisibility. They're there. You just can't see them. Like a Scooby-Doo episode.
Mr. President, this Frank Caliendo, he's able to really mimic your mannerisms and your speech patterns and your tone. He's starting another big TV show tonight. Are you going to be tuning into that, and can you tell us what time it's on?
I believe it's 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central, Frank TV on TBS. Unless, of course, I've got some bad misinformation. That's happened before, but I think it's going to be pretty good. This Catty Adondo fella can joke up a cake with the best of them. Got two new guys, a guy who's actually from Austin, Texas, lived in Houston for a while, Mike McRae, and then there's Freddie Lockhart, who does a great job from Phoenix, Arizona. And these guys, they're like a troop of troopers. Not like Koopa Troopers, which are from Super Mario Brothers.
Hold on just a second, Mr. President. We've only got a few minutes left with you, and we're coming back to a couple stations. Here we go.
Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've only got him for a few minutes. President George W. Bush is here. He's very upset about Frank TV and Frank Caliendo imitating him. Mr. President, is this identity theft to have Frank Caliendo being able to impersonate you to a T, sir?
Well, I hadn't thought of it that way, but I'm glad you brought it up. I think he's okay. I think he's all right. He says silly things, and I don't really say silly things, so I think people will know what the difference is.
But you're the decider. Should he be allowed to imitate you?
I'm the decider, and these are the decider house rules. That's what this is about, Alex. AJ, if you will. I think everything's going to be fine. I think I'll lay low on this one and ride it out. I'm getting pretty tired of this running the earth stuff.
Do you think you're going to go down in history as the greatest president ever? Because you said in a press conference that in history we'll all be dead. Or are you just not worried about it?
Well, I think I've done a good job. I think I tried my best. I think there's a lot of evildoers out there trying to get us, and I think we stopped them.
Well, in closing, Mr. President, can you put Frank Caliendo back on the line? Because I heard he was at the White House with you today, trying to learn how to be a great leader.
Yeah, let me put him on. He took a nap here. Hold on. Hey, how are you?
Hey, Frank, why are you hanging around with President Bush?
I just thought it would be cool. I mean, I met Karl Rove a couple weeks ago. He introduced me to him. It was great.
I mean, is it true that you've been basically been hired on the side to do basically fake phone calls to foreign leaders when President Bush is taking his three-hour naps.
No, that's not true, but I thank you for starting the rumor.
Hey, to be serious, you know, people on the internet, just from those calls you made to my answering machine with ManCow, they really think George Bush called me, and now they think I'm in league with him.
That's your audience.
No, that's my audience. Knows it's Frank Galindo. It's people on YouTube.
You got to be careful with being too truthful to your own audience, Alex.
All right, Frank Galindo again. Tell us about the new TV show tonight.
Frank TV on at 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central. You know, we start out with W came out this weekend. By the way, on my website, if you want to take a look, there's frankgalindo.com. Josh Brolin and Oliver Stone talking about watching me to learn how to do the W for the W movie.
You know, I saw that film. Brolin does an uncanny George Bush.
Yeah, and apparently he watched me for some of it to learn how to do it. So it's great that these guys know who I am. I thought that was pretty
Frank
cool.
FrankCaliendo.com, TBS Nationwide tonight, showing in different time zones. The final question here is, what is your... We're saying your favorite one is Charles Barkley. How did you get into imitating people?
I just always had a little bit of a knack for it as a kid. Growing up, my entire life, I'd do impressions of friends and stuff, watching Living Color, Saturday Night Live, and do those impressions. And I figured out, I went to school for broadcast journalism and thought, hey, why not take a chance at this? I didn't really like interviewing people, so I didn't want to be a newscaster or anything like that. So I thought, hey, try this, and it worked out.
Did you know who I was whenever ManCow got you to call my home answering machine?
No, I did not at the time.
Okay, oh, and you probably still don't, do you?
I'm still learning.
Okay, well, I'm actually the real George Bush, and that's just a clone they have up there in Washington. Hey, Frank Caliendo, thanks for the time, and I hope to get you back up on the show.
Hey, appreciate it. Thanks very much.
Take care. There he goes, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, that's what I figured, ManCow. I just told him to call up and say, hey, Mr. Jones, and that was amazing. And then he called in a second time. I should have saved that and put that on the air as well. You know, when we put it on air, we told people that it was obviously somebody prank calling me, and I predicted it was Frank Caliendo. I've only seen him a few times on TV do the imitation, but it sounded like Frank Caliendo doing George Bush, and it turned out I was correct. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Mystery completely solved. It was Frank Caliendo and ManCow that were doing that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have now spent about 12 minutes screwing around here on the show today. If people just tuned in and are wondering what I'm talking about the George Bush calls Alex Jones clip, that's what it's called on the web, I will play that for you one more time and get into all the serious news. Here it is.
Mr. Jones, this is George Bush, the President of the United States, and I've heard many things that you have, been saying on the internet and other various mediums that are out there. I understand you have problems with the government, and you believe in that. Many conspiracies, but I believe that we can work this out. If you will take my phone call, we can speak about this stuff. We will work this out. It's diplomacy, Diplomatic diplomacy is the way to go. And if the two of us can work this out, and I think we can, we'll definitely have it worked out then. All right, well, we'll try it back. If you need to keep doing what you're doing, do it. But okay.
You know, I said yesterday at the start of the show I was going to do a review of W, and since Frank Caliendo brought up the new Oliver Stone film, I'm going to go ahead and spend the rest of this segment critiquing W, and then I hope that one of my writers will take the points I make and put a little blurb up on the site with my review of it. I think it's a horrible whitewash and a rehabilitation of George W. Bush and his father, George Herbert Walker Bush. It makes George Herbert Walker Bush look like some type of humanitarian angel who was a great intellectual and did a great job in the first Gulf War and a wonderful humanitarian. It frames George W. Bush as a moron hillbilly Texan at the front, but who is lovable, kind of an idiot savant genius with campaigns, the real genius with Karl Rove, teaching him more than Rove taught him, teaching his father when he ran in 88 how to win. Just absolutely disgusting on that front. The WMDs in Iraq, it was all a mistake. They really believed that the WMDs were there. They're all very upset and depressed that they were wrong when it's come out that they premeditatedly said fix the intelligence, lie about it in the White House memo and the Downing Street memo. George Bush thought they were there. He is a holy rolling Christian energized by a TV preacher in Texas, a backwoodsy type. He has a born-again conversion, which has been closely looked at and is not true. George Bush, of course, a member of Skull and Bones, Bohemian Grove, constantly partying, stumbling drunk off Air Force One helicopter, Marine One, and Air Force One, the jet, routinely. I mean, really, all blame is heaped on Texans, and all blame is heaped on Christians. And I'm not even here as a Christian defending Christians. I mean, if I was an atheist, knowing who George Bush is, knowing the military-industrial complex and big banks and Carlyle Group, the controlling, I would come on air and, you know, say, well, as an atheist, if I wasn't even an atheist, I would say, you know, this is all blamed on Christians, and he's a backwoodsy, folksy guy that worked in the oil fields and thought he was doing the Lord's work, and that he prayed before each and every decision he made, just totally made up from what we know. And he's also a real nice guy in the White House, not the vicious, mean person that it's been confirmed that he is. It also puts forward the lie that Bush actually ran things and that was even above Cheney. And so it's all to be blamed on him. The whole New World Order agenda, the loss of liberties, the freedoms, the torture, it makes the torture cute and funny and ripping fingernails out lovable. And, you know, he's just a funny guy who meant well and is a sports fan, and he made all the decisions, so now we can forget what government's done the last 8 years. There's no global elite. There's no technocracy that used him as a front. You know, now that's a chapter that's closed, and he's just a cute, funny, dog-like person. I left the movie, and I asked my wife, I said, what image of him did you get? She said, an idiot savant who's like a lovable little dog. I was thinking the exact same words. I was thinking, idiot savant, lovable little dog. He's got dog-like mannerisms, you know, in the poster they use with him with his face down, you know, his chin down on the desk. She said exactly what I was thinking. So, I mean, it was just overwhelming. I went to see that Sunday night. He's all-American. He's handsome. He's misunderstood. There's also this sixth scene where they kind of sell the American people on, well, they're terrorists, they have WMDs, and we need the oil, and don't we need the oil? Don't we want the money as Americans? So it's kind of like a sick inside deal with the American people, kind of like in on it. Don't you want the oil? And I was looking at people's faces in the theater. They were like smacking their lips and feeling powerful through it, like they were in on the decision-making process in their delusional world. So no discussion of Skull and Bones, though it shows fraternity life. No discussion of Bohemian Grove. The fable that, again, he was the leader and meant well and actually ran things. Just over and over again. And there's a scene with the guy playing Colin Powell where they make like God in the film, where he says, and I'm paraphrasing because I wasn't writing notes in the theater. I should have. I just didn't think about doing it. Because it's advertised as something, you know, kind of discrediting Bush, and it doesn't. It's a totally opposite. Very sneaky. But they couldn't have just come in with a ham-fisted propaganda pro-New World Order, pro-Bush. But by doing this, it's a beautiful propaganda. There's a scene where Colin Powell says, well, we can have a New World Order or we can have global chaos. You know, a New World Order is one thing, what George Bush Sr. was setting up, he says, but this is global chaos. So see, we need a New World Order, but George Bush has been going against that when he's actually been for it. So the New World Order is a good thing. They do mention Bush with Blair going, you know, we could fly a plane over and try to get Saddam to shoot it down. That's the one thing that's accurate. And then when we get back, I'll tell you from some Hollywood insiders. I've been told by two separate Hollywood insiders separately one who is knows Oliver Stone, one that knows him well. And I'll tell you what, separately, I was told 2 years ago about Flight 93 and why he was doing that. And then a few months ago, I was told about this W movie. So I'll give you the inside scoop when we get back.
What if I say I'm not like the others? What if I say I'm not just another pawn in your place? You're a pretender. What if I say I will never surrender? What if I say I'm not like the others? What if I say I'm not just another pawn?
We are back live with my radio review of W with Josh Brolin. And look, I have no desire to bash Josh Brolin. His dad is a 9/11 truther, James Brolin, famous actor, award-winning actor of movies and TV in his own right, and stage. And I had a chance to meet Josh Brolin at the DNC at a Ralph Nader event. He was with Sean Penn. And he's very talented, did a great job. I would say that he does the best job, and after that, the lady that plays Condoleezza Rice, it's just unbelievably spot on. Unbelievable character acting. And I want to like Oliver Stone. I mean, his JFK is definitive. It's accurate. It's just a wonderful film. But I remember about 2 years ago being out in Los Angeles with a couple of big directors, and there were several well-known movie stars there. And we were having a big discussion around dinner about why is he making this Flight 93 movie, because the reviews were coming out that it was a pro-official story when it's well-known that Oliver Stone knows what the government's up to. I mean, he made JFK. And it was basically, well, he hadn't had a hit in a while, and he's afraid of not having a hit. And he's had a lot of drug convictions, and it's well known that if you're anti-establishment and have you know, three strikes, you're out, you'll go to prison. But if you're a minion of the system, like Rush Limbaugh with all the synthetic heroin pills, Oxycontin and other things, 100 a day, that would kill multiple horses. Such a tolerance he built up that, you know, you're allowed to do whatever you want. And, I mean, Richard Nixon was a drug addict. And so he's basically playing ball because he didn't want to go to prison. And I didn't think much of that, and I saw Flight 93, incredible hoax, enforcing the official fable. And then he comes out with W, which is a resuscitation, a rehabilitation of George W. Bush, his father, the whole stinking system, just legitimizing all the crimes. And there were people crying in the audience, neocons in there, people going, aw, for the president. It was disgusting observing for 2 hours the crowd just sucking up the propaganda. And it's the perfect New World Order shill to have Oliver Stone, supposedly anti-establishment, anti-Republican, come out with this film. Because that's the key propagandist to have, is somebody who's been trusted. And so W is a travesty. W is a horrible misrepresentation of the coincidence theory. You know, A, the president really does run things. There's no power elite behind him. There's no special interest. He meant well. They didn't lie to us. They misunderstood about the WMDs, though it's admitted that they forged Niger documents, yellow cake, aluminum tube documents, paid thousands of members of the press to put out false reports. That's in Congressional Budget Office admits that. Every case of it's illegal, a felony. I mean, if I went on and on, the crimes this administration, hundreds of visits by gay porn stars and male madams at the White House at all hours of the day and night. None of that in there. He's just a nice family man, a Christian, who's an idiot Christian, who's a moron Christian, who really thought he was doing the Lord's work in Iraq. It wasn't about trillions in weapon sales. It wasn't about a domestic police state. And again, spying on people's got to be done to keep us safe. He's like, I want to keep the American people safe. We've got to spy on them to do it. You know, there's WMDs. We know there are. Just all lies. you know, they'll show him chewing with his mouth open, but then it's cute and funny, and it's just, I mean, that's about as much as they attack him. And it's kind of cool how he's drunk with his little brother, running over trash cans in the front lawn with the car, and they show the earlier fraternity he was in before he was a junior and got tapped for skull and bones, and he's the cool fraternity guy. He knew how to answer all the questions and do it just right. I mean, it is a load of bull. It wasn't Bush being mean and burning people with coat hangers or sticking firecrackers in frogs' butts and blowing them to pieces. Live frogs, live toads. He would stick firecrackers in their behind end and their mouths and blow them to pieces. Same stuff Jeffrey Dahmer did. None of that! Disgusting Oliver Stone. So now Oliver Stone admits he can have his two hookers a day, his cocaine, his acid, all his liquor. He can just go around frying his brain, and now the CIA-run LAPD, I'll leave him alone. Well, that's just great, Oliver Stone. You've destroyed yourself forever. You've destroyed your name. I think I covered all the points.
Just do what it please.
I think I covered just about everything. Bush's family was mean to him. They treated him bad. They didn't believe in him, but he was the underdog who showed them because he was an idiot savant. I've made the idiot savant point. I just hadn't made the point that he's like the underdog and they're all mean to him and never believe in him, but he fights back. I mean, the whole thing is just total and complete propaganda. If there was any doubt that Oliver Stone was a propagandist for the dark side, this ended all that debate. Maybe all that acid and all those drugs. I mean, he admits he takes drugs every day. He brags about it in commentaries on films. They took acid and ecstasy and cocaine and methamphetamine when they made Natural Born Killers, basically the whole time. It's on the extra, them all tripping on the set. And I just think Oliver Stone's brain's fried. I don't even think he really even makes these movies. I think he's got sub-directors. In fact, I've been told that he basically just sits back now because he made Alexander himself, which was unwatchable. I mean, it was like an after-school show or something. I watched like 45 minutes of it and had to turn it off a few years ago. I mean, I never turned movies off. I had to turn it off. And then now these new films come out that are better done, cinematic-wise. And the semantics are better. The whole way it's written is better. Oliver Stone, no doubt, is very talented. You know, Conan the Barbarian is a classic film, very well done. Do not confuse it with the horrible film that Oliver Stone wasn't involved with, Conan the Destroyer. Absolutely unwatchable. You know, low budget, ridiculous, stupid. Two totally separate films. But Oliver Stone and that Italian director did Conan the Barbarian. I mean, very talented guy. He wrote and consulted on for De Palma, Scarface, excellent film. But I'm now getting off into film review here. The point is that the last point is, I may have made it last segment, but I don't remember making it. I was told by people in Hollywood about 2 years ago that he was selling out to a certain extent. Then I had somebody else separate from those guys in Hollywood saying, look, he's got at least 3 convictions in California for cocaine. He's got other drug convictions around the country. If he gets any more drug convictions or if he doesn't play ball, he's going to go to prison. He's on a bunch of different probations. And so they got him by the hair. And that's it. He's compromised. But you could tell he was selling out with Any Given Sunday. Would that come out 8-9 years ago? The whole thing is the Knights Templars and the Aztecs and the, and it's all the football teams have occultic names, and the whole thing is Illuminati symbolism. And I know people that know Oliver Stone, folks. He knows all about this stuff. And I guess made a conscious decision to sell out to it under threat of duress. I don't know. But I've been told by two separate groups of Hollywood people, high level. You know, the entertainment media system is rife with people claiming, you know, inside high level info. Most of it's baloney. If I tell you something, you can put it in the bank. Going to have Willie Nelson on tomorrow. He may be on right at the start of the show, but I know he has an appointment, or maybe on a little bit later. We'll see. He'll be on the first 2 hours of the show tomorrow, scheduled sometime in those first 2 hours. Probably right at the start of the show, if this appointment doesn't go over that he has. That should be interesting. And don't forget, we're going to be streaming live on the internet. My speech, Ventura's speech, Willie's speech, and then Willie's performance. And we're calling it the Peaceful Solution, Peace Revolution event. But it's an all-day thing. There's a bunch of other great bands out there. Jimmy Vaughn's playing with another group, and then I'm told he's going to be playing some with Willie. But that's what I was told. By Willie's people separately. I didn't even ask Willie when I talked to him on the phone a couple days ago about that. So there'll be a lot of surprises at that event. It's the last time. The Backyard's been there for something like almost 30 years. And they're moving to a bigger venue because it only holds like 6,000, 7,000 people. They're moving to a bigger one because it was out in the hill country overlooking the hills. Now it's got a big shopping mall around it. It's all built up out there. So they're moving on down the road to a bigger place. I think it holds like 20,000 or something. Willie actually started the Backyard with, what's his name, Tim O'Connor. But I'm already digressing. The point is, I need to get all that honed down with Steve Watson, Paul Watson, Kurt Nemo. You guys are on call Saturday night from New Mexico and London and Sheffield, because I need you to make sure when we give you the live link to post on the main page that evening, we're going to have two different feeds from the cameras there, in case Murphy's Law knocks one of them out of there's problems for everybody with that. Okay, I am done talking about all of that now. I want to give the phone number out, and I want to take your phone calls and cover news in the rest of this hour for all of the next hour. And then in studio, we have Tex Mars joining us in studio for an hour. And then we have Webster Griffin Tarpley on to talk about the election and the things that are heating up there as well in the fourth hour today. 1-800-259-9231. 1-800-259-9231 is the toll-free number to join us. Any issue you wish to discuss, we will put you to the front of the line if you disagree. We do not screen your calls. I want to be clear. Your first name, you can make that up. You can say your name is Billy Bomb. Say your name is Turnip Greens. Say your name is Easter Bunny, for all I care. And you can tell us you're calling from Atlantis. You can tell us you're calling from Albuquerque, New Mexico. I don't care. We do not screen your calls here. 1-800-259-9231. But if you wish to volunteer that you disagree, you go to the head of the line. Because unlike mainstream liberal and conservative fake talk radio, establishment spew, pablum, baby food for the mind, we aren't afraid of people disagreeing with us. Now, that doesn't mean if somebody calls in and asks me why I'm the right-hand man of the Pope, that I'm going to even sit there and entertain it, because I'm not. I'm not even Catholic. Or if somebody calls in and asking me why I'm a reptoid, I mean, I'm not going to I'm not going to sit there and even entertain it. I mean, I'll just laugh at you. All right, there's a lot of news that I have here in front of me that I want to go over, but let's just go ahead and take calls right now. Just the mainstream media is hyping. Joe Biden came out yesterday. The French government came out in the last 2 days. The British government last week. They're all saying in unison, Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda, is going to strike as soon as Barack Obama is elected or as soon as he's inaugurated in late January, January 22nd, 23rd of next year, to, quote, test him. Now, why would the Arabs in their right mind, the Muslims in their right mind, precipitate a terrorist strike that would bring in more military and more attacks on them? Well, they wouldn't. I mean, that's common sense, and who stands to benefit motive? And then you actually look at the evidence, and you know it's fake and made up. It has created real resistance fighters, Shiite, Sunni, Kurd, and others, being occupied for 6+ years, or 5, coming up on 6 years. I don't know, 2003 to 2008. Iraq has been under siege since 1990, so that's almost 18 years. 3 million Iraqis are dead, over 1 million of those in the last 5.5 years of liberation, being liberated from their lives. Another 3 million are refugees. It's a great crime committed in our names. And we are hearing that there is going to be some type of nuclear incident. Remember, U.S. News and World Report and others put out that Dick Cheney was saying we would be nuked before the election in 2004. And I went on air and said, I don't believe that's going to happen, but we have to take this threat very, very seriously because they could stage something because they're threatening it. And then I got accused of saying that they were sent, that we were going to be nuked and we weren't. No, I read U.S. News and World Report and other publications that were saying, and Cheney said, we will be nuked. They're not saying that now. They're saying there's a chance it could happen. They could get it. England's saying there's some huge coordinated attack coming, but they can't have any specifics. We know they stage terror events. There are real people who go into fish markets in Japan and stab to death, you know, 6 people yesterday. That's terror right there. It's a crazy person. They're always on Prozac-type drugs. Every case I've seen in Japan. Don't have any guns. They have mass stabbings every few days there. You know, you get a woman, like I said, walks on an Israeli bus, stabs 14 people, killing 5-6 of them. That's terrorism. Just like a U.S. Apache firing Hellfire missiles into a schoolyard or into a market and killing a couple hundred people. I mean, that's terrorism. If a terrorist knows how to fly a helicopter, went into a military base and hijacked an Apache and loaded it up with Hellfire missiles and flew into a sports stadium and blew up Americans, we'd call it terror. How is it terror when the Israelis or NATO, U.S.-backed forces all over the world, from Serbia to Afghanistan, blow up wedding parties, you name it? Oh, that's collateral damage, and that's funny. Ha, ha, ha. People laugh about it. You know, people go online and they make videos laughing and giggling, showing videos of children, dogs being killed. And we're so dehumanized that when a family, a woman, a carload of kids gets blown up and the troops are laughing while they shoot them, that's funny. And YouTube will remove it saying it's anti-American to post that we're anti-troops. But before they remove it, there'll be Marines and Army on there, and you can link back to their own YouTube and MySpace accounts they link to, and it'll be them in uniform laughing. Going, you know, hell yeah, let's kill some of these people. They're all a bunch of animals. Now, that's a minority of the troops, but they're the ones that get promoted. Remember Private Gruckheimer in the Ithaca Times? 2002, he comes home, he says, yeah, my tour in Afghanistan, we just go in every village and just kill every man, woman, and child, including babies. And then Fox News put the head of the Afghan operation, a general, on TV saying, well, let's clarify. We only kill everybody in certain villages that we consider hostile. They go into every tent, and so even the clarification admitted that. So let's not lie and say that we are the good guys by saying, no, this isn't our government. No, we have fraudulent voting machines. We have a dictatorship of NORTHCOM and the military-industrial complex, which is now admitted. Then we can get that guilt, at least partially. We let it come to this, but get it off of us internationally into the world to ourselves and say, we're not part of this, not in our name. And then we can truly redeem ourselves by going out and resisting it and speaking out against it and saying no to it. It's that simple. But I'm going to get to this later. They're busy fear-mongering everywhere that terrorists are about to attack any minute. Give up all of your rights. And Obama, there's going to be an attack in Europe of the U.S., and then he'll be strong and blow the enemy to pieces, and then you'll have all the neocons suddenly say, I like him. I guess he ain't a Muslim. I guess he's all right. Yeah, he's going into another country. I like it. I like it. So they can sit back and watch their TV and drink liquor and feel powerful. I've talked to liquor store owners I know, and every time there's a war, record amounts of liquor are sold for weeks. Just men feeling manly through the war. Just sit back and get drunk every day going, oh, just watching the military news and feeling all manly and oh, yeah. So disgusting. It's such an abomination, such a aberrant behavior, degenerate. That's true degeneracy. I mean, you know, having sex with 100 sex partners a year, that's unhealthy, it's dangerous. And so you can call it degenerate. We're not supposed to behave like that. But I don't even particularly judge those people or hate them. I mean, I can understand how they could want to do it. But what true degeneracy is loving death, loving destruction, laughing at dead Iraqi children, and the public has been so dehumanized themselves. Their souls have been so blackened and hardened, their hearts, that they'll cry over a dead puppy being shot by Marines, and they'll be outraged, but they will just love dead Iraqi children. And Rush Limbaugh will say, oh, they're just blowing off steam and having a good time at Abu Ghraib. That's a quote, by the way. Haven't you ever just wanted to have some fun? Blow off some steam. All right, let's go to John in Ohio. John, you're on the air.
Yeah, Alex, after that, you said so many important things there about the calluses of these armchair warmongers that I almost feel ashamed in not bringing this up. But I think periodically I stifle myself. But how much I think you're doing a great job on the 9/11 truth issues, on the police state, on exposing the lies behind these wars and the dehumanization of killing people in countries around the world. But I do have to say that I think now that we're in this situation of a move towards depression, that we do have to see some real alternatives that don't have to be demonized, because if we do that, we're going to
miss. Hey, John, there's not going to be a real socialist solution. And again, I'm against having helicopters dump money out on people, because down the road it'll just devalue the currency.
Absolutely.
But let me stop. I am for that before we just give it to international banks who are then going to use it to buy up what's left of our economy.
Absolutely. It has nothing to do with socialism. It's fascism. It's the exact opposite. But all I'm saying,
that is what Ron Paul and every other real economist has said on this. So this is fascism. The media keeps calling it socialism. It is not socialism.
It is not socialism, but the problem with the libertarian idea, and I would ask people to get Google up Mr. Anonymous, the not-so-spontaneous libertarian. Mr. Anonymous, the not-so-spontaneous libertarian, because I think this libertarianism around much of what is on GCN, the so-called conservative movement, is really the most establishment line of all, to a cold-hearted elimination of even the slightest safety net that people over the decades have forced on this government.
Hey, John, communism doesn't work. Look at what... Look. I'm going to come back to you and let you finish up on the other side. Then we'll talk to Gavin, and many others. Stay with us, ladies and gentlemen. Frank Caliendo, one of the most popular comedians in the United States, on the first 12 minutes of the show. Tex Mars is going to be on in about an hour and 5 minutes in studio with us. And then Webster Tarpley. All right, we're going back to John, then Gavin, Rourke, Steve, Dan, and others. John, finish up your point.
Yeah, well, you can't finish it up in a couple minutes, but I would say that I would hope that we could get, for instance, some kind of a shortwave station like GCN that emphasizes a socialist perspective just for consideration.
We are not just a shortwave station, sir.
Well, I understand, but I'm just saying that if they would have equal access, they certainly don't. We've been marinated for generations with falsifications, distortions by all the enemies of various varieties of socialism. People don't even know what it is. I listened to Jack McClan last week, and he calls Brzezinski the number one anti-communist, anti-Soviet, rabid fanatic in the world, the top communist and the top socialist in this country. With that kind of
hold on, Jack McLam, Brzezinski claims he's anti-Soviet, but in truth, he did support Pol Pot.
Well, he supported Pol Pot, and Pol Pot was anti-communist. The point I'm making is he's been a rabid anti-Soviet and anti-communist with this kind of incredible delusional and hallucinations about what who is a communist and who isn't. There's no way that you can make any kind of a judgment. All I'm saying is that if we would have something like workers.org or WSWS.org regularly or having their own channels of communication, I think people would begin to see that
there's a lot of you know, I mean, they don't have big foundation money. They don't know how to go out, I guess, and get sponsors and actually be like the evil free market people. Look, this John, this is not a free market that we have with private banks issuing and controlling the currency and using government to go and basically shut down banks and brokerage houses that they don't control and using government to pipe the people's money to it. That's what I always say. Every time you get a big government, you get a tiny group, whether it's communism, fascism, doesn't matter, that uses those levers to consolidate control. That's human nature.
It's not human nature, and it's not a function of government. It's a function of capitalism. That is the inevitable result of the sharks of capitalism eating the smaller sharks over decades and centuries.
The answer is decentralization, local government, and true freedom, my friend.
Well, decentralization is really a trick when you have the monopoly
control
of the credit.
A really big government is what has allowed, and fraudulent government is what allowed the banks to do this.
All I'm saying is in a real world where the monopoly credit is controlled by Wall Street on a global basis, decentralization and the idea that you're going to have more power is going to absolutely trap you into being
totally
dependent.
John, I'm talking real world here. Look at how the left has helped build up the structure for world government. And now, you know, the banks always financed it, and they always financed the socialists at the UN.
Hold on.
And now, you make your point. And now they're using that to set up world government of and for and by the crony robber barons. I don't even call them capitalists.
Reality. If you just look at the 50 years terrorism we've imposed against Cuba, the invasions, the use of germ warfare, the assassination attempts, Operation Northwood to murder Americans, to frame them up, and to say that we brought them to power. I mean, it's delusional. And this kind of a Birchite attitude, I think.
It's not delusional that the military-industrial complex builds enemies and then then has wars with them.
Well, from the very beginning, they had this attempt to assassinate.
Well, let's get something straight. I didn't learn what I know from the John Birch Society. I learned it from reading globalist documents and from going to college here locally and hearing the propaganda. Okay, so, let's be straight about that. The Birchers don't even think 9/11 was an inside job. But thank you, John. We'll be right back.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Tex Mars in studio in 1 hour, then in the fourth hour of the broadcast today, Webster Griffin Tarpley to give us the latest on the election from his unique perspective. We're taking your phone calls in this hour and covering a ton of really important news that I'll be going over starting at the bottom of the hour, but continuing with calls. Right now, let's go to Gavin in Texas. Gavin, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hey, thank you very much. I've been listening to your show since 2001, before 9/11. I saw you propose the idea that, you know, the attack and whatnot, and then I was convinced that you were onto something, but that's not why I'm calling. I'm calling to say to those that are listening, if you don't wake up, it doesn't really matter. Your family and many others will die, and that's going to cause the true awakening. I've got to go back to work. I love y'all, and thank you very much, Alex.
Thank you, Gavin, for the call. Yes, the global elite running things created the fascists, the communists that killed 200 million people alone last century, and this is real. I mean, this is not a game. I'm sorry the truth is so hardcore. Rourke in Texas, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, Alex. I have a spiel about communism I'd like to go over, and I hope you'll let me run with it.
Okay, go ahead.
And, all right, when you think about the word commune, you think about hippies in Oregon or the kibbutz in Israel. When you think about communism, you think about Stalin, Mao, and the Gulag Archipelago. When you have two opposite ideas about a single idea and you're unaware of it, that's doublethink, which is brainwash. Lies become propaganda, become brainwash. So therefore, either commune being the root word of communism or communism must be a lie. I think it's easy to see that communism is the lie, and the exploit in the Communist Manifesto is in the first line. Dictatorship of the proletariat. Dictatorship is fascism. It's not imperialism because it's pulled from a party.
And they always get the working class to claim that they're attacking the elite, but really it's the elite always directing the working class against the middle class, the hereditary enemy of the elite.
I think it's more than that. How is it that the poor of a country can afford an army to defeat the imperial forces in their country? They're funded by a foreign bank.
They always are.
Yeah, so the Queen of England has been getting rid of her competition on the Eurasian continent.
And you can't explain that to these dyed-in-the-wool socialists.
Yeah, but see, that and central planning, which is also fascism because few control the entire manufacturing base, makes communism really fascism with a communist front.
That's right. No, it's all command and control. It says, Carol Quigley said, and again, that book internally was used by the State Department, Foreign Service, and CIA for their high-level people to know how the world really worked. And it's exactly what we say here. There was a far-reaching plan by the international banking families to fund communism and fascism to consolidate control and enslave the population. And then the public debates within that left-right paradigm. Never getting outside the box, never truly causing a real revolution against the tyrants.
I found this Jordan Maxwell's basic slideshow, and in there he has a book called The California Legislature 11th Report, Senate Investigating Committee on Education, 1953. And it reads, "The communist conspirators thereupon conceived a plan for the future of the supplementing of the long-established secret conspiracy in existence since May 1, 1776, with an unremitting public campaign for the victim among the victims among the ignorant of all nations, and in an attempt to hide from the view the underlying hypocritical conspiracy existing since May 1, 1776, it was decided that in such public campaign, the Manifesto of 1848 should be heralded as the founding date of communism and Karl Marx falsely proclaimed as its author." And I think Karl Marx was a Mason. The first Russian Communist Convention was in London in 1905.
We're out of time for this call. Stay with us. More calls straight ahead.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Waging war on corruption, crashing through the lies and disinformation, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, back on Sundays from 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. 6 days a week, we are here, ladies and gentlemen. All right, Steve, Dan, many others that are holding, your calls are coming up here in about 10 minutes. Then we'll get into nuclear incident would make 9/11 insignificant. That's what a worldwide commission is saying, getting us ready for that. DPB chief Sir Kevin MacDonald attacks Big Brother state surveillance. London Times saying England is a total Big Brother control grid. You ain't seen nothing yet. World Wildlife Fund, which is a eugenics front, resorts to deception and climate fear mongering. caught red-handed. A PrisonPlanet.com article will be going over. Interpol details plans for global biometric facial scan database. That's Infowars.net. Steve Watson, London Guardian, others reporting on it. Big news there, what that'll mean to everybody. Obama's carbon ultimatum, the coming offer. He won't be able to refuse. Global taxes, Wall Street Journal. Another great story from LewRockwell.com. Environmentalism is racism. That's what it was set up to do, was to freeze the third world so they can't industrialize. That's in mainline government documents. Also, the financial news, Fed launching new effort to help out money funds. That means give money to their own companies, loot the public treasury. That is just some of what is coming up today. But once a month, he joins us, and I always enjoy it because not only is it a great product, not only is he a great sponsor, I believe in getting people outside of the box and outside of the system. And just to briefly explain it, after Germany was captured, and this happened somewhat before, but they were the masters of chemistry and new systems, and because of the pressures of Nazi Germany not having a lot of oil, they learned how to get it out of coal shales. They learned how to make soap, but which is really a toxic detergent, out of the oil byproducts. And Procter & Gamble and others picked this up, and so you end up paying more money for really toxic waste, and then old-fashioned soap and cleaning products were eradicated. This company's been around since 1947. That's quite a long time, ladies and gentlemen. 1947. And he started with his father. He, of course, is in World War II in the Chemical Corps. He's Marty Schachter. And his son is also there. It's a Calben Pure Soap Company there in Oakland, California. And because you go directly to the manufacturer, you get, on average, about 85% off supermarket prices. So in this tough economy, this is a way to really save money, and it's real. Been around, again, for 60 years, and they're just great folks. Marty, it's good to have you here with us.
Pleasure talking to you and your listeners, Alex. It's once a month. I look forward to it. It's so exciting to relate the information and the knowledge to save the consumers, to save the listeners a barrel full of money, and giving them products twice as good as what they're using now.
Yeah, we don't hear the big establishment environmentalists, well, thank you, that are grabbing all the property and destroying free market and taxing people with phony environmentalism. You never hear them talk about going back to clean, healthy, real soap. I mean, I could ask a lot of questions, Marty, but what's most important for people to know?
Well, important to know they're interested in three things: their health, their well-being, and their finances. And this is where we are on top of everyone in the whole country. I mean, we're talking about purchasing cleaning products, a 1 to 2 year supply, which is 65 pounds, is equal to 1,000 pounds. That comes out to $3 per week. 3 to 4 year supply, which is 145 pounds, equal to 2,000 pounds. That's a ton, 250 per week. 4 to 5 year supply, which is 210 pounds, that's 3,000 pounds, a ton and a half that you don't have to buy, $2 a week. What's it costing you now? It's costing you $20 a week. I can prove it. I got statistical evidence. $20 a week where your money's going down the drain with nothing to show for it. We say, why don't you put your money up the drain for a change? And that's what we do. That's our career. That's my life. This is what I've been doing, going on 61 years now. Save money, save the environment, save your clothing, save your skin, save your machines, save, save, save. That's our motto.
That's right. Up on 5starsoap.com, just the number 5starsoap.com, or you can spell it out, 5starsoap.com. You have your California organic certificates. That's the highest standard in the country. And so many problems with asthma, rashes, you name it. But instead of bashing the toxic waste that's sold as cleaning products, let's talk about your products. Talk about being organic when organic wasn't even, you know, understood. You know, kind of back to the future. Break down what's in your products.
Well, basically the products of detergents sold by these billion-dollar corporations are all made, as you say, from waste petroleum products, converted into a detergent.
We don't believe in that. We don't use that word. It's a poison word for us. We make soap, old-fashioned soap, from the 18th, 19th, and early 20th century when it was absolutely gone from the marketplace. We're talking about soaps made from natural coconut oils, vegetable oils. We don't use perfumes, which are toxic. We use natural oils from oranges, from honey, from lemons. This is what we do. This is our career. This is our life. And we decided to go factory direct, not to the corporations, not to the hospitals, not to the schools, not to the convalescent homes, which was the base of our business for decades. We decided 4 years ago, when I made my connection to Genesis Communication Network, when I was called and says, hey, why don't you sell to the families? Why don't you sell direct to our listeners? And that really put the bulb on. It lit the bulb. I said, my God, I never thought of that. That's a great idea. And this is what we're doing, going factory direct to Alex Jones listeners, giving them the best buy, the best products. Nothing can be compared to twice as good. And this, we guarantee it unconditionally.
Well, Marty, you just covered the key there. Big hospitals, nicer nursing homes, five-star hotels, they, for now 60-something years, buy from you because the establishment's smart. They're not stupid. They want to save money and have, real soap. That's only for the idiot public to have the deadly detergents and the toxic poisons. I can't find words enough to sell people on the fact that they need to call and get a brochure. They need to check it out online. They need to get the sampler tote bag. Tell folks about the sampler tote bag.
Well, first of all, free catalogs describes everything, plus being on the web describes everything. And we put together a 1 to 2 month supply of Pure Soap products. It weighs out about 6 pounds. It's got 4 bars of our Pure Soap, nothing like it in the nation. It's got an 18-ounce jar of our granulated laundry soap, not detergent, with a little tiny scoop to measure it out, 16 ounces, which is a pint, in a dispenser bottle of our triple-concentrated cocoa butter shampoo. Nothing like it. When you use it, you will rave. That's what we get. The problem with our products is they last too long. That's the complaints we get. You also get a 16-ounce pint dispenser bottle of our liquid cream dish soap for pots, for pans, for utensils, for mopping the floor, for doing the windows, for washing your hands. All-purpose, doesn't hurt, doesn't harm, doesn't pollute, doesn't burn. It contains, and this is basically what we do. The products contain no useless dyes, perfumes, chlorides, aloes, glycerins, conditioners, foods, vitamins, botanicals, antibacterials, paraffins, acids, lanolins, detergents, deodorants. Doesn't contain any of that crap. Don't need it anymore. Are you tired of supporting these billion-dollar corporations? You come to me, we take care of you. We're family-owned, family-operated.
By the way, you're not going to need your lint collector anymore in your dryer because, explain to people, these detergents eat your clothes.
Well, what it is, they say stronger than dirt. That's the main commercial. It is strong. It's too strong. The products are too strong. When they go into a washing machine, they microscopically break down the soil. They also microscopically break down the fibers. And they turn into lint when they go into the dryer. Lint is broken clothing. What is lint? Why do we have lint? Why is the newest dryers have a drawer to pull out to collect this lint, which is your clothing, which is only going to last you 60 or 90 days, diapers, baby clothes, thing of the past. No hand-me-downs because they deteriorate. The clothes are clean, too clean, and again, broken down fibers, deterioration, not economically good for you.
Marty, give folks the toll-free number if they want to call and get the sample tote bag, or go ahead and get a year supply or month supply.
800-340-7091. We got people here. My family's all waiting for your calls. 800-340-7091. You could put a 1 in front of it. It's some places you don't need the 1, but that's what it is. And you can see us on the web, 5starsoap.com, 5 the number, 5 the letter. We're there. We're waiting for you. We'll guarantee everything.
Give the number.
You'll never use anything else.
Give the number again.
800 1-800-340-7091. 1-800-340-7091.
Or fivestarsub.com. We got about 60 seconds. Give me a limerick.
A cute little babe from St. Paul wore a newspaper dress to a ball. But the dress caught on fire and burned her entire front page, sporting section, and all.
Oh, Marty, again, fivestarsub.com, folks. It's great. I believe in an only push. If you hear me verbally endorse something, that means it's my sponsor, and I believe in it. And I'm just glad that we found you. And again, they gave me a year's supply of it. I just gave it to my wife, and she's like, a year later, I want more of that. Man, that's great stuff. And I remember smelling the bar soap. Oh, that, you know, that cherry essence and almond oil. Marty, thanks for coming on with us.
Thank you, Alex. I appreciate that very much, and I look forward to hearing from your listeners.
You bet, my friend. Take care. All right, we're going to come right back with your phone calls and a ton of important news. Then text Mars and Webster Tarpley. All right, I want to run through your calls as quickly as possible. That's a catch-22. It means no matter how great your points or questions are, we got to move on to the next person, so get ready. Steve and Dan and Paul and Anna and Rebecca and others. Toll free number to join us is 800-259-9231. We're here trying to alert the public to the criminal world elite that are carrying out mass eugenics operations against free humanity. The time is running out, ladies and gentlemen. It is now time to activate, take action, and wake up as many people as you possibly can. This isn't some distant threat. This is here upon us now. Let's go ahead and go to Steve in Toronto. You're on the air, Steve.
Hey, Alex, you're the best. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, yeah, I've been trying to wake up people up here since, like, the 80s. I remember when this woman came up to my door in, like, 1986, knocking on the door, and she was trying to tell me that they're going to have microchips in our hands, and she was, you know, giving me all these revelations from the Bible, and I was blown away. I mean, I was only, like, 9 years old, and ever since then, I was trying to tell people, you know, there's something wrong, even though I didn't know for sure what it was. But for years and years, I've been talking to people, and it just seems that people are just so passive up here and so brain dead that...
No, they are mesmerized by watching adults close to 4 hours, children more than 4 hours of television that physically, scientifically,
yeah,
this is admitted, mesmerizes them and puts them into a dream state.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
yeah,
the public out there listening, if you're tuning through on the AM or FM dial laughing right now, listen, Bubba, you've been put in a pacified position.
It's true, and you know, that's funny. Right now, there's this zombie culture going on with zombie movies, and people up here will get together and dress up like zombies and walk the streets, and I'm like, are you? I'm like, it's so ironic.
Yeah, that's
that
a nice,
like,
mascot for them, because they really are zombies spiritually and mentally.
Exactly.
Hey, listen to this. Every couple of weeks, I see an article where some high school junior or senior, sometimes middle school, writes a story about zombies attacking a high school. Because that's in, you know, scores of movies and culture. I got an A-plus for English in, like, seventh grade for a story about zombies attacking the school, and me and my football buddies were defeating them. And, of course, we didn't have cars yet, but in the story we had cars. And literally, I saw a story a few days ago in Kentucky. The senior, no criminal record, good guy. His parents were divorced, so he lives with his grandparents. They were reading his journal, and they admitted, it was in the news, that it was in his... English, you know, folder,
yeah,
where zombies attack a nondescript high school separate from his, not even naming names. And he has been arrested, and the police were in the news, I meant to get to it, saying, we know it's not this high school, we know it's fictional, but still, he's going to jail, and he's on $5,000 bond and facing all these years in prison for terroristic threats and planning terrorism. I mean, you can go pull the article up. Just Google teen arrested for story in Kentucky. And the
yeah,
police say, we know it's not real. So see, that's a thought crime now.
Yeah.
But see, his grandparents turned him in.
Wow.
But go ahead and make your point.
It's just that, I don't know, I'm just saying it's a brain-dead culture now, and I feel like it's like I've been trying to wake people up, and it's very hard. Like, I pass out copies of, you know, your films, other people's films, too, whatever. You know, I give them at least a variety, and, you know, no people, oh, I partly watch it, you know, and, you know, whatever, I don't have time. And then they'll come up to me and go, oh, dude, you got to see Zeitgeist, man, you got to see it. And I'm like, oh, God, no. You know, it's like, wait, you know, it's like, because he used clips from your films and other people or Bill Hicks and whatever. Meanwhile, like, he doesn't give their full view, just these little things that help, right? And I try to
But see, the
that.
Key is it's Delphi Technique and others. I mean, they have corporate seminars on this. And I've been told by big broadcasting executives, people I've run into, that, Alex, you've got a distinctive voice and it's really good, but it actually wakes people up. And they say what's really slick, but that's not my voice, is this and a cadence, everything's all right. It's the soothingness. Everybody's designed to be soothed by TV, to be soothed into relaxing. And so it's that soothing way. Have you noticed how politicians will talk to you?
Yeah.
How when a mayor's taking people's private property, they'll say, it's for the earth. You'll be taken care of. There's nothing to worry about. Everything's all right, okay?
Well, that's what most university students here in Canada who come out, like, you know, taking philosophy and politics end up sounding like. I mean, they're insulted when I tell them, you know, what's really going on or what to refer to, and they're completely insulted, and they actually come up with the same ideas that he has, and I think it's just
because they taught in universities. People
exactly.
are in a comfort bubble, and they don't want that comfort bubble violated. I'm going to explain this when we get back and take more calls. Stay with us. Great call.
He's going the distance.
He's going for speed.
She's all alone.
What it's all about, going the distance, year after year, pounding the New World Order.
Racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance.
Yeah. Front lines of the info war, you found it.
No trophy, no flowers, no flashbulbs, no wine. He's haunted by something he cannot define. Bowel-shaking earthquakes of doubt and remorse assail him, impale him with monster truck force. In his mind, he's still thriving, still making the grade. She's hoping in time that her memories will fade, cause he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up, and long ago somebody left with the cup, but he's striving and driving and hugging the turns, and thinking of someone for whom he still burns.
He's going the distance.
That's what it's all about.
He's going for speed.
All right, we're back live.
All alone in a time of need.
Look, humans are creatures of comfort and creatures of habit. We get comfortable in this nice grid with the Madison Avenue billboards and radio and TV, the movies, the culture. We're immersed, or as a caller said in the last hour, John from Ohio, marinated in this system and in subsystems of thought and propaganda. And I've noticed things. Going to films maybe once a month for most of my adult life. I don't watch a lot of TV, but I do go to a movie or so at least once a month. I enjoy the cinema. And I enjoy analyzing the crowds, the looks on their faces. More often than not, I'm not watching the screen. I'm not in suspended disbelief. I'm looking at them and seeing what their reactions are. And I've noticed that we're degenerating into a bunch of animals. People now will text message. They will talk on their cell phones. It doesn't matter if it's in a nice part of town or a poor part of town. People do not want to get up for you to go to the bathroom or to get more popcorn. They do not want to move their knees to even let you get into your seat. They will get angry at you. That happened Sunday night when I went to see W, and they were doing it to other people that were going past them. They just wouldn't move their knees. They'd sit there and look at you. It's a selfishness. Just like more and more, I grew up in Texas and born in Texas, and people let you in traffic, and I still do it, but more and more they don't. It's like we live in Mexico City or Moscow or something, everybody honking at each other. The culture is changing, and so people are so selfish There's a million examples of this. You know, people not taking care of their parents, warehousing them in nursing homes, not even going to visit them, not working even an extra job to get them a better nursing home, even if you have to do that. They just deny it. They rationalize. They make excuses. You know, a country that's had 50 million abortions. I mean, even if you're for abortions and aren't saying they're human beings, which they clearly are, it's very lazy to have your form of birth control being murdering the unborn child and dehumanizing life itself and dehumanizing the Iraqis and dehumanizing everybody else for that matter and euthanizing the elderly and making it fashionable and cool and like it's some wonderful right. Now as the state pushes to euthanize people and has been caught doing it all over the world. And so people are so selfish that they don't want to hear about a new world order. They don't want to hear about police corruption. They don't want to hear about overtaxation and regulation. Even if it's hurting them, they're so myopic, so focused on themselves for a host of reasons. But one of them is they don't want to admit there's an elite or corrupt establishment or scary powers that be. And they don't want to admit that they have personal power and could have a destiny and be involved in engaging tyranny and resisting it. And a lot of them deep down know there's a tyranny and are scared to face it. And so they selfishly, as a coward does, rationalize and tell themselves it doesn't exist because they are too afraid to even admit it's real to themselves. And they don't want to hear it's a hard fight against the New World Order and that we're already in desperate straits. We have a chance of beating it, but it's diminishing. They want to live in denial. And so they like groups and people and Barack Obama or John McCain with their easy solutions and the state loves you and the government likes you and good guys are running and the government's just inept. There's no big problem. You know, shots aren't bad for you or your dog or cat. You know, they're not bad for your children. There's no poison in the water. They don't put it there on purpose. And they didn't know Prozac made people kill themselves. Of course, they did when they tested it in 82. But, you know, everything's all right. Now, the flu shot protects you from the flu. Doesn't matter that it, well, in the last at least 6 years, they haven't picked the right one the year before that would mutate, so it doesn't protect you. Doesn't matter these experimental shots they give the troops are killing them. Just say it doesn't exist. Say it's okay. You know, say everything's all right. Because if you admitted that even 5% of what I'm saying and others are saying is true, you'd have to do something about it. Well, I got news for you, boys and girls. I'm about 95% accurate. And the 5% of the time I'm wrong, it's over just a number or a date or some minutia. We try to tell the truth. We have a great track record, an unbelievable track record of being accurate. We are closer than anybody else out there I know of to the view of how the world really ticks and really operates because we go off how the New World Order, in its even public global planning document, states the world really works. I mean, when you get something the CIA and State Department used for its internal people to understand the true history of the United States and Europe, and then it gets out into full publication, Tragedy and Hope, 900 and something pages, and you better believe that's exactly how things work, and that's exactly the world we're in, written in 68. And you read a Club of Rome document from 91, or a Royal Commission on Population from 1949. And it all came true, it all happened, just like they said they were going to do it. And then they tell the lazy public, oh, none of that exists. The government can't tie its shoelaces. We just have all the volumes where they say exactly what they're doing. Let me tell people that serve the system something. We have the documents they put cancer viruses in your shots, buddy. We have the documents they put sodium fluoride and other toxins to hurt you and brain damage you and calcify your glands. It's a fact. You understand? It's a fact TV brainwashes you and puts you into a lower brain state and mesmerizes you in a sleep state, waking sleep state, like sleepwalking. It's a fact there's a world government. It's a fact 9/11 was an inside job. It's a fact Oklahoma City was an inside job. It's a fact the first World Trade Center bombing was provocateured. It's a fact the Gulf of Tonkin was staged. It's a fact the USS Liberty was premeditatedly attacked to blame it on Egypt and start World War III. It's a fact that Georgia, U.S.-backed, snuck attack Russia. It's a fact the Federal Security Bureau and Russia staged bombings on their own buildings for a police state pretext. All right, I said I'd take your calls. The point is, don't blame me because I had the will that when I discovered real history and discovered what was really going on in the world, that I made a decision and a commitment 15 years ago and for 13 years on air to become highly informed and highly motivated and to try to spur others to become highly motivated to fight tyranny. Don't be mad at me because I tell you the truth. Don't be mad at me because I tell you there's bad people in the world. Don't be angry with me because I'm telling you that there's massive growing corruption in high places worldwide. Denying it doesn't protect you. Denying that there are those dangers doesn't protect you. Like an innocent two-year-old child riding in their car seat in a car, when another car has a blowout in front of it and turns sideways and flips, and that SUV or that car plows head-on into it, and that car flips, killing everybody on board. That two-year-old didn't understand that. That two-year-old was a little toddler, a baby. And I don't blame a two-year-old for not knowing how dangerous the highways are. And it's the same thing with government and tyranny and history. I don't blame 2- and 3- and 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds. But my 6-year-old son now knows more about history and more about the nature of government than most adults. And that is shameful. And you are like little babies who live in denial. And a lot of people who are, quote, awake get sucked into the COINTELPRO and the infighting and the rest of it. And the reason they get sucked into it is because it's easier to infight and backseat quarterback and complain than actually become leaders and try to actually go out and wake people up on what we can prove and the basic issues that we know. All right, now I'm really going to the calls quick. Dan, Paula, and Rebecca and others. Dan in New York, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
I was just going to say about the whole socialism and the bailout, that's not socialism. That's a form of corporatism.
It is.
Which, I believe Benito Mussolini said it best. You know who he is, but a lot of callers might not know.
Yeah, he's the fascist leader, came to power in the 20s.
For Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, he basically said corporatism and fascism are the same thing. And even my global teacher, who disagrees and says the Patriot Act is unconstitutional, says that this is a form of corporatism that we're coming to.
It is. So, it is a global corporate state where they socialize our wealth, but not to be redistributed to us. It never does. The elites always keep it, under whatever name it is. But it's all transferred to them to then social engineer us.
Yeah, exactly. Right there, Alex. You got it right on the head. But,
yeah, I mean, folks, they staged the 9/11 attacks. You don't think they won't put in voting machines to steal elections? Of course they are. They're going for broke. They're going the distance. And it's going to take a complete commitment against these people to have any chance. Because their end game is killing everybody.
Yeah, and exactly. Like, people say Barack Obama is going to help the economy. The only thing he's going to do is make guns illegal. And even worse, probably make our economy more socialistic.
I was in a gun shop about 9 months ago and saw some flyers about Obama, and then I was in one again about a month ago buying some ammo to go shooting, and they had some literature there, and I knew he was anti-gun, but I hadn't fully believed the rhetoric, and I picked up the pamphlet, and when I got back to town, I was out in the countryside, I got back to town a few days later, I went and looked at the Senate record, I went and looked at his Senate record, not just in federally, but in the state of Illinois. And he openly says ban all 308 and 223 rounds, rifles that fire it. Folks, 223 and 308, that's like 35-40%. But if you can ban those main cartridge rounds, the NATO round, you can, both those are a NATO round, well, the 308's the main NATO round, you can ban it all. I mean, this guy really means it. Oh, man, we're in trouble.
Well, in the Second Amendment, he constantly says he's for the Second Amendment, but then he's voted for almost every gun ban that there has been.
Well, how the spin works is, we're for the Second Amendment, but the Second Amendment says only the National Guard, which they call the militia, but that wasn't set up until 1906, and all the records show it's an individual right.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand gun laws, but I can't understand total gun bans. Like,
well, you can't have gun laws. Criminals are always going to violate the law. Okay, we need more guns, less crime. I appreciate your call. I mean, you know, 150 years ago, all over the country, when you got out of prison, they gave you your guns back. And I believe in that. I believe in that. I don't believe felons should be barred from owning guns. But you know what? You engage in a violent crime with a gun, You need to go away forever. I mean, I really want freedom. I really want the whole big fat enchilada. I want it all. I'm ready for it. I want it. All right, Paul in California, go ahead.
Hey, Paul, thanks. Thanks for taking my call, Alex.
Welcome.
I would like to recommend that you make common cause with those people whom you refer to as illegal aliens.
Well, I do have a common cause. They're human beings. I'm against them having toxic waste dumped on them all over Mexico from the U.S. I'm against eugenics farms euthanizing their babies here in the U.S., targeting brown people for extermination, which is all liberal and loving, you know, the way it's sold. But I'm against, look, if the New World Order is for private federal banks with federal power, I'm against it. If the New World Order is for open borders, I'm against it. If the New World Order is for fluoridating water, I'm against it. If they're for forcing inoculations, I'm against it. Because everything they do is bad. So the poor people in Mexico have had their land stolen by the United Nations, by the IMF, by the World Bank. They've been forced off of it in the last 15 years, off their ancestral land. They don't want to come here. And then they're sent here to bankrupt the economy and to bankrupt the states. And I'm not against them individually, but I understand they're being used.
Yes, they are victims of the New World Order, more so than folks like you and I who are of the privileged group.
Yeah, but we're not going to be the privileged group long. That's the whole point. They want world feudalism. And so they flood first world nations with second multi-tiered systems with second-class people, you know, a first, a second, and a third class. They only want a giant slave class and then a first class. So they're flooding the United States to bankrupt everything and to drive down wages, brother.
And Alex,
and it's not helping Mexico. If we would have let none of these illegal aliens in, we'd have higher wages here. Okay, we'd have a higher standard of living, and then they would have already had rebellions, and guaranteed they've exported their revolution here, sir.
One thing, Alex, you should recognize, though, when you look at these people, you should realize that they are descended from the Mayans, the Aztecs, the indigenous peoples of Central and South America. They have more of a claim to this land than the Europeans do.
Well, but you see, the whole Reconquista Ford Foundation, Annenberg Foundation, liberation theology pumped in the 50s and 60s and 70s, they claim it's an Aztec kingdom all the way up into Canada, and it's not. And they have horrible racism in Mexico towards Native Americans in Central North America. So it's a Mesoamerican attitude, elite, tribalism, sir. You know, people think only whites are tribal, only Anglos are tribal. No, that's not how it works. And so the liberation theology has been pumped into these people. I can rise above it, and I don't dislike them personally because of their brainwashing, but I'm not going to sit here and not report on what I read in Mexican newspapers and Spanish papers in Texas and what's on radio and TV. And it's, we're going to get you, gringo, you're the devil, we're going to take you down, it's over. Pilgrim, you're going to go back, we're going to get you. And that's all funded by the banks. And so I will report on that. I will give people the multifaceted view.
Well, I just, you know, when I hear you refer to Mexicans and illegal aliens, you should realize that these are human beings. They want to survive, just like anybody
else. I know, and they would survive better if they took their country back. But they've got a culture of corruption, so they probably will never be able to. And now we've got a corporate culture and a private culture of corruption, and we're probably done. You understand? We're done. We became spineless and cowardly to the little punks in uniforms and corrupt government, and it's over! We're a third world cesspit. The New World Order basically got the job done. We have a small chance in turning it around. You understand that?
Alex, would you...
Are you going to like paying Mordido? Hey, hold on. Are you going to like having to pay cops off? Mordido's already started all over Texas. You like the fact that in like 12 different South Texas towns, they fly the Mexican flag, no English allowed in the courthouses? See, I know what's really going on. My wife speaks Spanish, brother. I don't care about the people with brown skin being here. I care about the fact they've been brainwashed. Okay? I can't look, I try to warn them to stop letting the New World Order euthanize them. But see, that doesn't feel good like the tribalism. I don't think you understand, my friend. Do you understand now? I mean, do you know about the plan of San Diego? I found out that Mexico has a plan to come in here and kill all whites. I'm sorry, I learned about it. Across from me, and coming up in T-minus 5 minutes, we start the third hour. He'll be with us for a full hour. We'll be live at prisonplanet.tv, streaming out with video of Tex and myself and some of the documents and articles he has, and some of your phone calls. Beginning into the economy, the big picture, regardless of John McCain or Barack Obama wins. I think Obama is probably the more dangerous because he can get more popular support and sell people that he's different, you know, just on the surface because of skin color. But I want to get Ann and Rebecca at least in the calls right now. Ann in Idaho, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, did you say Anna?
Is it Ann or Anna?
It's Anna.
Okay, Anna, go ahead.
First of all, I wanted to say thank you. I'm a huge fan.
Well, thank you.
I am a mother. You're welcome. I'm a mother and a wife of 14 years, and I have to get your radio show on Infowars.com. And so I work during the day, so it's nice sometimes if I can come home and just, you can push listen now, and I just wanted to say thank you.
Well, thank you. You can always get the free podcast, too.
Well, thank you. My question for you is that I need you to kind of dumb down the gold and silver thing, because I don't understand what the purchasing power would be.
Okay, well, they can fully devalue a paper currency. And gold,
I understand that part.
Gold, according to economists, should be at $2,500 to $3,000, depending on 1980 inflation, you know, just it, government's admitted inflation, which is really much lower than what it really is. And so the point is they've decided to fully devalue the dollar in the next few years, but they're going to devalue all currencies they've now announced basically at the same time to try to create the illusion on the currency markets that the dollar isn't really falling. And so with gold, they can always in the paper markets lower its price, But all the trends show it should be radically increasing in the future. And it already has increased from about $280 five, 6 years ago to, you know, right around $800 to $1,000. It gyrates back and forth between there. And so then if a new currency comes in or something else happens, you can still cash in gold and silver for whatever the new monetary unit is.
Oh, I understand.
I mean,
I thought I purchased gold. Here I'd have these gold pieces, and I'm thinking, how am I going to pay for my groceries with this gold?
Well, you'll take those into a coin dealer or a precious metal shop, and then you'll cash that in. So, see, let's say you kept money in a shoebox, $1,000.
Uh-huh.
Well, in 2 years, it'll be worth about half of what it is now, conservatively, with purchasing power. But if you kept gold in a shoebox, and let's just say gold stayed at the same price, but with inflation went up, but the same value, you would be able to go in and cash it in for $2,000 in cash. So do you see what I'm saying? Gold has intrinsic real value, like anything else precious. Yeah, I mean, you could collect art. The elite collect art, famous art pieces, because it intrinsically goes up in value, and they know where to cash it in later. But I don't recommend art as a storage of wealth for the average person, because they probably wouldn't. It takes a lot of research to do that properly. But, I mean, there's land. But, see, they put a property tax on land, which they can jack up and then always take from you as well. So there's nothing like having some gold and silver or platinum, which is raw, which has had intrinsic value since civilization formed in the Tigris-Euphrates 6,000 years ago.
Well, thank you for that.
You bet. But there's a lot of other things you can do. I mean, the best thing is having a rural piece of property you can go to if you need be, having friends and family you can trust, neighbors you can trust. That's the most important thing. But I meant to get to Rebecca, and we will with Tex Mars later. I'll get to everybody that's holding, but we're going to come back with Tex Mars live at prisonplanet.tv and on the InfoWars streams, and of course on the AM and FM dial. We'll be doing some behind-the-scenes talking as well.
You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We're being told that as soon as John McCain or Barack Obama are elected and inaugurated coming up in late January, that Al-Qaeda is going to test America and Europe with a terror attack, or the government's going to stage more terror attacks, the shadow government, to give an excuse to the system to expand more wars, take more liberties and freedoms. We'll be talking about that, the economy with Tex Mars, and a lot more. And Tex has also done some research, and this is coming up at the end of the hour, on the Grand Poobah, the guy that says that basically anybody and everybody in the Patriot movement except him is a agent of the Vatican. Now that's pretty funny, because you're, of course, a Protestant pastor. My family helped found Texas. The Ayers family raised Colonel Travis's son. They brought in Bibles into Galveston and literally ran from the Jesuits who were trying to kill him up to Nacogdoches and then into Central Texas after that. So that's really funny as well. But we're not going to name any names today. It's just what's been discovered is very interesting. And, of course, it was obvious from the beginning, but it's become even more obvious. And so it's very important to understand there are people who want to undermine movements and want to claim the people that are effectively exposing the New World Order, that we're all the agents. And notice we're never out doing that. And then 9 times out of 10, we find out those saying this about us, they are the agents. No one's saying that the Vatican isn't very corrupt and part of the New World Order. Tex has written books on that and even been criticized by Catholic publications for that. It's just that this is a great wedge issue to try to somehow energize evangelical Christians into attacking Christian leaders like Tex Mars and others. So it's just more infighting, more divide and conquer. We won't spend too much time on that, maybe 5-10 minutes, but it should be a very serious discovery that has been made. But I don't want this individual's name uttered on my show, because before I even knew who he was, he called me, emailed me a bunch like 4 or 5 years ago, and the first email I saw was, "How dare you? You've refused my interviews. You're clearly a Vatican agent. If you don't interview me within 1 week, I will expose you." And I was like, "Well, I'm not gonna do that. Though I would like you to expose the place of the Vatican in the whole New World Order with us today. We're not bashing Catholics, folks. This thing has taken over everything. But I think it's important to also show that." But then I learned this individual says I'm a white supremacist. Not about me. He says he's a white supremacist.
Well, he
says that blacks should be put in their own country. He says that Catholic priests do black magic rituals in aircraft and fire power beams down, that's what nuclear bombs are. And he's clearly trying to discredit the whole movement. I mean, only a 2-year-old would not see this, but I've ignored it. And then the people that are his followers, who are well-meaning idiots, I go, but do Catholic priests do black magic? I mean, is the earth on a string? He says that the earth is on a string in the center of the universe, and that they drop nukes on ley lines with Masonic power beams. I mean, you can't make this up, so that's coming up. But instead of myself babbling, Tex, we're going to skip this break for the internet audience and be back for everybody else. Let's get into the economy first and the election and spend the lion's share of that. I don't like policing people, but this really is interesting when they try to police us, and they're clearly not crackpots. They're clearly there to discredit everybody.
Oh, yeah. Well, talking about the individual, and by the way, there are a number of individuals seeking to discredit everything from the 9/11 truth movement to really what we are, which is the overall truth movement, exposing the global conspiracy of the elite. And, of course, from the CIA, the Israeli Mossad have a tremendous amount of money. And they've put into these people. There are many disinformation agents out there. But you have to watch carefully what they're doing. Usually they go to the ridiculous. You know, and this is what they do to discredit the movement, because later you'll see them begin to be quoted. For example, the individual you're talking about went over to Israel and was on Israel national radio. So he was chosen, you see. And it turns out, and by the way, he blasts anybody, this person that you're talking about, who supposedly has been exposing the Vatican Jesuits, he will blast anyone who exposes Zionism. And I always wondered about that. You know, it's one thing to expose the Catholic Church and the Vatican, but why does he defend Zionists so
hard? Hold on, Tex. We just went to break.
Okay.
John, I'm going to skip this break so Tex can continue, as I was saying. Okay, please continue, Tex.
Well, this individual not only has supposedly written a book although it's a very mysterious publisher that never published a book before or after. And he claims he's not related to this publisher. But he wrote this book, and it is going to be the end-all book to expose the Jesuits. Now, I've been busy exposing the Jesuits myself for about 20 years, and I'm more than willing to welcome anyone that does this. But I got his book, and it was absolutely ridiculous. I mean, the Jesuits have done everything from killing JFK, World War I, World War II, World War III. I mean, it's almost incredible. But the big thing about this individual, he goes from the Jesuits to start attacking anyone who says that 9/11 was an inside job. Oh, they're Vatican Jesuit priest in hiding. Then he goes against, let's say, people like Constance Cumby. Now, Cumby wrote a book long time ago exposing the New Age occult movement. He says Cumby is a Vatican Jesuit. She's a Romish vixen, which sort of made me laugh a little bit. Romish vixen. I think he took a picture of Connie about 40 years ago, and he still thinks she looks like that. That shows the depth of his research. But now this man is knocking the 9/11 truth movement, and if you expose Zionism, he is really after you. Boy, you're the one. You must be secretly a Vatican Jesuit, or you wouldn't be against Zionism. So this is his game, and I've noticed as he has attacked you, he has attacked Alfred Weber, the guy that wants to have the 9/11 tribunal to try Bush and Cheney. He's attacked him, called him a Vatican Jesuit, covert agent. He's attacked me, of course, even though I probably have more videos, more CDs in my ministry. You can go there and just look and type in the word Catholic or Vatican. I've probably done, a dozen videos exposing the Vatican, but now I'm a Vatican agent. And it's very interesting, too, though.
Well, that's because all evil can only flow from the Vatican.
Well, yeah, that's his theory. But, of course, the Vatican does have the evil, and that's what I've been exposing, along with, by the way, the tele-evangelists and the others who are also paid by the Illuminati elite, and I've done that too. So I've sort of looked at the whole range of false.
Yeah, they've taken it all over, basically.
Oh,
all the big institutions, but they don't want that. I mean, the craziest thing is saying that they do black magic rituals to make nuclear explosions. I mean,
What he does in his book and the radio programs, and he's been invited on, unfortunately, onto a number of Patriot radio programs. And they're looking for the truth, so this man seems to have some truth, you see. But then, after he's gained a little notoriety, then he starts attacking, everyone who goes against...
Hold on. We're going back to the full audience. Back to the full audience. Here we go.
Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Now, again, folks, we're not even in fighting here. That means fighting people who are in the Patriot movement or the Awakening movement. And I wanted to get into this later, but Texas is just getting into it now, so we can. I also want to get into the economy and your take on the election. But there are people out there, and the kingpin of this literally says that nuclear weapons, and I challenge people to counter me on this, they won't, because he's got quite a following. They do black magic rituals in Foo Fighter flying saucers. I'm not joking, and that they drop these things on ley lines, and they can only drop nukes on ley lines because that's where their black magic power works. Now, he also says the Earth is on some type of meridian, Tropic of Cancer. I don't know what that means, and it's on a string, and the Earth goes up and down on a string, and the universe orbits it. And I mean, that's all. He can't believe that. I mean, that's meant to discredit what he's saying. And then blacks need to be sent to their own country. He says, I'm a white supremacist. And then he goes and says, and we're Nazi Vatican agents who were working for the Nazis. Again, neither one of us are Catholic. You actually married my wife and I know you're a Protestant.
Sure.
You're also a retired Air Force officer and a space and aeronautics professor. And I just ignore this stuff. But then I did start noticing that, like, the Israeli government and people have this guy on, and then you discovered that he's actually in the pay of some of the Israeli folks, and it kind of leads a double life. And that's really what I found, because I've tried to stay out of the whole Zionist thing. I've had guests on like yourself to cover it. I'm against what Israel does when they murder innocent people. I'm against some of the views there. I'm against the infiltration of our government, the spying, all that stuff. And we've made fabled enemies about it. But just because I'm trying to cover the general New World Order stuff and not getting all the fighting, I've been a little light on it, and I've tried to be more hardcore on it. But even before I got more serious on the issue, I was attacked. I mean, if you say the Israel attacked the USS Liberty, which is now declassified and admitted. That is a lie. You are working for the Pope. And it doesn't matter if it's now admitted. Mainstream news. So I don't want to spend all day on this text because, you know, you're a giant in this. 20 years fighting the New World Order. I've been doing it for 13 years. And I know you've made some amazing discoveries. Other have as well about this individual. But, you know, that's what I told, you know, people privately about it. I just said, look, that's some kind of way to get to sick Protestants who've been conditioned, you know, through the churches to worship Israel instead of Christ. And that's the new religion.
Absolutely.
And Pastor Hagee now saying Jesus isn't even the Messiah. And people say, yes, he's not. Israel, the real Messiah is about to come to Israel. Well, the Bible says the fake Messiah is going to come to Israel.
Absolutely.
But the point is, this is classic stuff. And so I've just pulled back from it. And but I keep expecting people to go, well, look, he says flying saucers drop nukes. But they don't.
Well, they fasten on the Vatican Jesuits. And this is a very interesting subject. 20 years ago, I exposed the Vatican through the order of the Jesuit infiltration of Washington, D.C. And we can go all the way back to the founding of the United States, and the Jesuits had a hand. So, you know, it's okay to expose all these various secret societies, the Knights of Malta, the Jesuits of the Vatican and everything. And I've been chief in doing that. And I welcome anyone else. There are many secret societies, as you know, from Freemasonry.
But you judge a tree by its fruits. You have been chief exposing that. And then someone comes out and says, you're an agent.
Well, yeah, but you have to ask yourself, why do they do that? Why did this individual, why did he say Jeff Rentz of Rentz.com is a Vatican agent? Why does he say Constance Cumbie, who is exposed occultism, why is she suddenly a Vatican coadjutor of the Jesuits? Why is Alfred Weber from Canada, who has been exposing Dick and Dick Cheney and Bush in the 9/11 movement, why is he suddenly a Vatican Jesuit? Why is Pastor Butch Paul, a wonderful pastor,
a Baptist,
who's been involved exposing the New World Order? The guy was indicted even. Because he had the temerity to say, you know, people write this judge and tell him what he did, ABC, was wrong. And then they come down and get this guy is a very brave patriot. Now, listen, I'm going to tell you, I've exposed many people in my time, but I appreciate the patriot movement, the people who listen to this program, Alex Jones. I appreciate what you've done, and I've known you from the very, very beginning. I know your father, a great Christian man. Now, all this is nonsense. So I asked myself, who is this man? Now, I've done some investigation, but there is a website out there called ZionistChampions.com. ZionistChampions.com. And it has everything on this guy in his own words. Here's what this man who says, all I'm doing is exposing Alex Jones and Tex Mars and Alfred Weber and Constance Cumbie and Jeff Rentz and Butch Paul. He's got a long list. Almost all the leaders of the 9/11 truth movement seem to be Vatican agents, which is, of course, ridiculous. But I said, and also, he really seems to despise anyone who even mentions the Israeli Mossad or the Zionist connection. Why is he so favorable and ardent toward the Zionist movement? Well, it turns out that he's a Israeli diamond merchant, okay, has his own website in which he brags that he's looking for the very wealthy who want the finest diamonds and gems cut by Israeli diamond cutters in Tel Aviv. Then it turns out he's been to Israel back and forth, meeting with various unnamed people in Israel. And as it turns out, the guy was even invited on the Tamar Yona talk show that interviews all the movers and shakers in Israel. This is Israel National Radio. I mean, this is run by the Zionists. And they invited this guy on. What was the subject of his message? Well, he's blasting the Catholic Jesuits. They're the evil people of this world. They want to destroy Israel, etc. They want to take over Jerusalem. And of course, he doesn't believe in the 9/11 truth movement. These conspiracy theorists, they're dangerous too. And by the way, the guy has gotten so popular, he was invited to the University of Oklahoma, the Hasidic Jewish group. They invited him there also to talk to them. So the guy's got a great following. And of course, he's an Israeli diamond trader. Now, here's another thing that's dangerous.
He doesn't talk about that on air, though.
No, he doesn't let anybody know. You know, he says, you are anti-Semite. But he doesn't tell anybody that he's an Israeli diamond merchant who brags about it on his own website. Now, here's another dangerous thing. Some of these people try to get you to commit crimes. Go bomb something. Go do this. Go do that. Kill these people. Watch out for those folks. Watch out. Here's one of the things he's done. On his, he's got three different websites, by the way, this particular agent. On one of them, he brags and says, for 25 years, I have not filled out my IRS tax forms. I do not pay taxes.
Well, they've nailed you to the wall, gone after me, everybody, yeah. But not him.
He says, I have never asked for a Social Security number, and I never will. Okay, now he's sort of inviting everybody, do like I do, you see. Don't pay taxes. Don't even fill out your
1040. And you notice when I get on there, I tell folks, be careful. You know, it's criminal, it's illegal, but you know.
Yeah, taxes, let's face it, taxes are wasted. It makes us angry and all that stuff. But you got to be very careful because the IRS is just waiting.
Well, the point is, I tell people it is fraudulent, it is a scam, but you make your own decisions.
Yeah, and so he approaches it, I'm a Christian like you. I haven't paid taxes in 25 years. You don't need to pay taxes. I think he's inviting these people in. He gets a mailing list of these people.
Well, I've noticed that whatever crowd it is,
over to the IRS.
He'll come up and say, I'm a white nationalist. I'm a white supremacist.
There's another thing.
And then to another crowd, he says, I'm this, I'm that.
Exactly.
So it's different for every crowd.
Yeah, he flies to Israel, goes on Israel National Radio, and blasts Christians. Okay? And that pleases the Jews and the Zionists over there. But he comes back to America and says, I'm a white supremacist. He actually said that. He says, I'm a racist, but I'm a good racist. Okay? And then he says, the black people are culturally, intellectually, and spiritually inferior. They shouldn't even be allowed to live in the white nation. We should force them over and they can have their own country, push them out. Now, think about this. Here's a guy who's an Israeli diamond trader. who's claiming to be a white? He says, "I'm a white supremacist. I'm a racist, but a good racist."
That's like the Southern Poverty Law Center.
I just want to put him in.
That's like
thing.
Southern Poverty Law Center, and it came out in government documents. It's mainstream news now. It's been in a whole bunch of newspapers. The first one that broke it was Jesse Trinity, the lawyer in the Salt Lake City Tribune, a couple years ago. That it turned out the Southern Poverty Law Center was running Elohim City.
Yeah. What they do? They fund many of these white supremacist groups. The Aryan Nations and all the others. And then it turns out that they want them to go out and be crazy, to dress up like Hitler and to wear little funny little mustaches and go Sieg Heil, so that they can say, see, everyone who wants to expose 9/11 is just like that. They're all a bunch of Hitlers. Alex Jones, they're Vatican agents. They're Jesuits. They're anti-Semites. You see,
that's why
one man has all these things going at
once. See, Tex, that's why I try to talk about North American Union, the Federal Reserve being private. I don't like coming on here and having to talk about how the illegal aliens have been brainwashed to hate America and want La Reconquista. I know they're good people, so I try to stop the Planned Parenthood killing them. I don't like coming on here and bashing Catholics because the Pope's calling for a new world order, but I have to talk about it, but I'm not trying to make it a hate thing. And I don't like, and I know a lot of Jews in Israel hate what's happening, and it's diverse over there, but I know the Zionists are part of the new world order and pushing it, so I have you want to talk about it. And then I get the crowd that thinks Israel's the center of all evil who gets mad that I don't go far enough. The point is that I'm just trying to get everybody to work together against tyranny, and there are these people who are just completely out of control.
Yes. Well, here's the whole thing. They want, what you want is an America. You want to enforce immigration laws. And you know that they're going to use these Mexican illegal aliens and the ones from Central America against America. Okay? And this is what we despise and what we fight against. But we don't oppose the individuals at all. You know, we're Christians. I believe whosoever will may come. That means anyone of any race. But listen, they want a black-white race war. They want the Mexicans to try this Reconquista and to kill white people and to set up this Aztlan empire of the South.
And they talk about it, and I'm supposed to act like it doesn't exist.
Yeah, but you've got to. You've got to expose this, because I'll tell you, many Mexicans, many black people, and white people are going to be victims. They want us to fight amongst ourselves while the Illuminati elite grab everything.
They control all the major groups, and their agents always want to make it only one group so we don't see the entire attack pattern.
Oh, absolutely. Listen.
Stay there. We got a break.
Yeah.
We're going to skip this one, too, for the internet audience. We'll be back for everybody else in 4 minutes with Tex Mars. Infowars.com is the website. We'll give you his websites as well. and text. Well, I do want to get into the election, which you originally and what's happening
with
the economy.
We've got so much on the agenda, Alex.
And then this wicked devil right here.
King Henry Paulson.
Yeah, yeah, I just messed up your notes magazine. Here. Because I want you to be able to run through all this. But I'm sorry for messing that up.
But
since we got into this early, go ahead and finish up with it.
Well, I think we have to be very careful. We oppose illegal aliens coming into America. We oppose 40 or 50 million. And that's really what it is, even though they say it's only 12 million. They kept that figure for years and years. But Bear Stearns, which may be one of the reasons they went out of business, actually did a report 2 years ago in which they said there are as many as 35 million illegals in America.
No, the banking and brokerage numbers were 35 million 3 years ago.
So we want to keep America for Americans. There's nothing wrong with being America first. And by the way, if you live in Mexico,
it's going to bankrupt all of the hospitals, all the city services. It's already happened.
Absolutely.
But see, if we made the revolution stay down there, they'd take their country back. We're being used as a steam valve. It hurts them. It hurts us.
Well, I hope we won't go in too much this individual.
He's only one of many disinformation
agents.
But one of the most effective. But I mean, going back to what you just said about the illegal aliens, it hurts my heart. Because it's the same thing. I don't like going on air and talking about how the Vatican's calling for world government and new world order, because I know unsophisticated people who are Catholics will think I'm bashing them. I don't like coming on air and saying, Pat Robertson said China's having to have abortion. I lost a couple of radio affiliates. He said it on CNN, and I said it's wrong for Pat Robertson to say abortion's good in China, which he did. And those affiliates said, hey, we don't like you talking about Pat Robertson. Apologize, you're off the air. That was in Florida. And I said, I'm sorry, I can't be for abortion. So, you know, the point is, I have to bash the Protestant leaders who are controlled. I have to bash the Catholic leaders who are controlled. I have to bash the Jewish leaders who are controlled. I mean, when I bash the British government as one of the top levels of this, I'm not bashing the British people. My name's Jones. Your name's Mars. You're Scottish. I mean, the point is that's the key. They control through the roundtable groups, the governments and the major religions, and then they control it through that. You're giving them wide spectrum, the kingdom of the cults. You're showing them how it's happening, and that's what the agents never want that. They want to make it, and that isn't just on the Catholic side. They want to make it just about Zionist or just about, you know, and it's bigger than that.
Alex, let's just look at the Council on Foreign Relations, which I believe is almost an aristocracy of the elite in the political and economic worlds. All the top CEOs, all the banking investment people, members of the Council on Foreign Relations. Now, the CFR itself, and this was in their Foreign Affairs Journal that comes out, they have established a religious round table. You have to understand, this is political, economic, and spiritual. Now, guess who the head, the chairman of the religious round table is? None other than Henry Kissinger. Now, at the same time, Pope Benedict, believe it or not, has appointed Henry Kissinger
as his advisor.
As his political advisor.
And Tony Blair has become Catholic so he can be the future head of Europe, and that was admitted. And we said, if he's going to be the new EU chief in the future, he'll have to become Catholic. And he did that because they admit the EU is a, quote, Vatican political body. So it's definitely at the heart of it. You write books saying that.
Absolutely.
And you're a wicked devil.
but wait. Henry Kissinger doesn't stop with the Vatican. That's not enough. I mean, we have several hundred million Protestants in this world. I should say ex-Protestants. They don't even say they're Protestants now. They're evangelicals, okay, Christian evangelicals. So the religious roundtable of the CFR has to reach out to them, too, and bring them within its fold. Guess what? Rick Warren, okay, who has been called America's pastor, is now a member of the Council on Foreign Relations and is a member of Henry Kissinger's religious round table. So they don't care if you're a Protestant.
Hold on, we're going back live to the full audience. Full audience, here we go. Tex, they've got several subgroups to control Christian Republican groups. One of them's the Something Policy Center. You were just talking about the nexus points with Henry Kissinger over the Catholic group, the Religious Roundtable group over the Protestant group, how he's over all these groups together up at the top. What's the name of that big group that has a lot of the Christian conservative leaders, and they meet in secret every year?
Well, there's a Council on National Policy.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That is weighted mostly to the Catholic side. You know, the head of Coors Brewing, and all that, the beer company, all of those people are part of that group. James Dobson is also part of that. The old 700 Club, you know, its leaders, Fournier and others, were all Catholic. So a lot of those people are part of that group. But what I was talking about now was the Council on Foreign Relations, the CFR.
It has a religious roundtable.
Yeah, people don't think of it as a spiritual organization. Now, you have to understand, they take everybody into their fold who's part of this global and American anti-American conspiracy. They have taken LULAC, okay, the Latin group. They have taken MALDEF. Okay, all of these anti-American, pro-illegal immigration movements, they are now members of the CFR, but they've gone beyond that. They have set up, and they had an actual a big issue, special edition of Foreign Affairs, their journal, the CFR, and they said, we have established a religious roundtable. And listen to who are members of it. Catholic cardinals, but wait, also Rick Warren. Okay, of Saddleback Community Church, who is supposedly a Christian evangelical. You know, the guy that wrote The Purpose-Driven Church that was number one on the New York Times bestseller list. They even said in the Foreign Affairs Journal that John Hagee and the pro-Israel movement needs to be brought into our fold. We need to bring all of these people in, too. You see, so this is not a Catholic Protestant situation. They simply want to bankrupt the morality of all the Christian establishment. That's what they've done. I want people to understand, there is a Christian church, but it's not the televangelist. It's not the Vatican. And I call it the mom and pop church. I mean, many of them have to meet in their homes now because the entire Christian establishment has been exposed as corrupt. This goes back a long time.
Meanwhile, we have the movie W making it all the evil George Bush did was because he was a Christian. He's born again. Can you speak to that? I mean, all the gay prostitutes, Skull and Bones, Bohemian Grove, all the mean things Bush does. And then they act like he's this loving idiot savant. He just did it all because evil Christians got control of him.
Well, let's look at it from the Illuminati elite standpoint in this election. And you'll see what's going on. Okay, McCain and Palin have the Christian evangelicals and all of the traditionals. And you say, oh, thank God for them. Thank God for Sarah Palin. But hold on. Now, on the other side, you've got the liberal groups, maybe even all the way over to the Islamic secret agents of Obama and Biden. And, of course, Biden is Catholic. So there you have the Catholic Muslim factions. So they seem to be putting these two great forces at odds with each other. But watch out. Let me tell your audience about something, okay? First of all, you have to understand that Sarah Palin was chosen by Zionist billionaires in Israel before McCain even knew her name. In fact, I can show you. We were talking about the Tamar Yonah show, one of the most popular talk shows on Israel National Radio. Guess what? They had a two-hour special on Sarah Palin right after she was made governor of Alaska. They said, we have a Zionist pro-Israel person as governor, and they forecast a great future for her. Now, there are 50 states in America. Probably 49 of the governors are pro-Israel, right? Because it pays to be, because of the powerful Israeli lobby. Why did Israel National Radio, the Tamar Yonah show that interviews all the movers and shakers, why did they have a two-hour special bringing Sarah Palin in? Sarah Palin herself said, I only have one flag in my office as governor of the state of Alaska, the flag of the nation of Israel. Why did she, when she had the debate with Palin, say, I love Israel, Joe Biden, and I'm glad to know that you support Israel? Why, when Charlie Gibson asked Sarah Palin, what will you and McCain in Washington, D.C., do if Israel starts, basically, he didn't say the word, but World War III, by invading Iran? She says, we would not second guess our ally Israel. In other words, it's okay with us, whatever they do. Although it will bring America into World War III, it will probably mean gasoline at $25 a gallon. And of course, the rich of the world would love that. They're going to buy those oil futures. They drove it up one time to $147 a barrel. Now they love to see it at $300, $400, $500 a gallon. It'll mean 20 or 30 million Americans out of work. What do they care? We're peons anyway, third world nation, and they will profit from our poverty.
Wow, Tex Mars is fired up today. I tell you, stay there. We're going to take this break. We'll be back in 3 short minutes with Tex Mars. I want to talk some about your new book as well. Tex Mars is in studio with us. I hope you'll go to InfoWars.com and get Mysterious Monuments. I'm holding it up on TV, the size of the Austin phone book. And we're going to talk some about this before he leaves us. It's part two. He did another book, Codex Magica, part one. That's the same size. We carry both at InfoWars.com and some of his other books and videos at InfoWars.com. And this will really wake people up. And he covers it all. He covers the corruption in every group and how they're all just factions of the New World Order. It's all available, again, at InfoWars.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. You can ask him about Mysterious Monuments, Codex Magica, the other books and videos we carry from Tex Mars at 888-253-3139. Tex, you've got quite a stack of notes and information there. But just finishing up, I mean, To see the New World Order try to get me to join one faction or the other by pushing me into it's all this group or it's all that group, they really hate it when we expose and know that all these major groups are being controlled and show those nexus points. They cannot stand that. And they want to sell the public on, I'm saying four or five New World Order guys are robbing the bank, four or five major groups. You're saying the same thing. And they try to tell people, oh, they're giving aid and comfort to this group or that group. No, we're explaining that there's evil in high places all over the place, and they're all co-equally guilty in all of this. But I think this individual didn't make it public, this particular disinfo agent, that they were basically this officer of Israel. And so that's going to be, a big problem for them.
Absolutely. And listen, in Mysterious Monuments, I want to make it very plain here. If you want to see the broad range of this, let me tell the people a secret. If they haven't got this book, and they may have even missed it, you know, there's 875 photos and over 600 pages here. But let me reveal something about the Illuminati elite. There are two things that are very important to them, believe it or not, and that is death and money. Not their death, but your death. They actually believe in blood sacrifice. And they believe it is a holy thing that gives them a great Luciferian energy power. Now, let me explain something to people. You say, this is crazy, Tex. Are you saying that people like Kissinger and the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and all of these other the richest people in the world, you're saying they're interested in blood sacrifice? Yes, let me go a little further. Go to New York City, all right? There are two buildings of interest that are pictured in this book. One is the Standard Oil Corporation building. Okay, it was built by John D. Rockefeller, who founded this incredible oil cartel that has now spiraled into Exxon, Mobil, Conoco, Phillips, and so forth. All right? Now, with its vast power around the world, corporate and money power, this oil, dictatorship almost. Now, think about this. It looks like a normal skyscraper, the Standard Oil building, but on top of it, they have built, get this, a great Greek temple pyramid. It is exactly the recreation of the mausoleum or the tomb of King Mausolus of ancient Greece. What is the meaning of it? Well, you see, the very word mausoleum comes from King Mausus, who built this fabulous pyramid-shaped a tomb for he and his wife in ancient Greece. It's in ruins today. But Rockefeller believed that he had to build this tomb on top of his skyscraper Standard Oil building. Now, but that's not all. Travel down the street to the financial district, and there is another building, a huge skyscraper. It is a bank building. It is the Bankers Trust building that's owned by the Reichman family, one of the richest Illuminati dynasty families from out of Canada, but it's in the United States in New York City. And guess what is on top of the Bankers Trust building? And I have a picture of it. The tomb of Mausolus. They built it there too. But wait, I'm not finished. Let's go to the House of the Temple, the Scottish Rite, the largest Masonic group in the world, their headquarters, numerologically, according to occult fact, figuring, 13 blocks from the White House. And guess what the architect John Pope designed it as? Of course, the Tomb of Mausolus. But wait, I'm not finished. The Tomb of Mausolus, I have a picture of it. Okay, and they worship the devil inside of it. Now, but I'm not finished. Go to North Vietnam and go to the and say, I want to see where Ho Chi Minh, the great communist leader who kicked out the French and the Americans, I want to go to his tomb. Guess what? They've designed it as the tomb of Muslims. But I'm not finished. Let's go to Russia. You think Lenin was just a communist? No. He was a Marxist-Leninist Freemason, member of the Illuminati secret societies. That's why he believed in blood. That's why he believed in killing millions of people through his gulags. And what if you go and visit the great, you know, where his body lies in state, and they keep it with all kind of fancy olive oils and all kind of things to try to keep it, you know, still looking like him under glass. I mean, he's a pickled dead man, okay, at the Lenin Museum. But guess what? You'll be surprised. It's the tomb of Mausolus, recreated. Now, why is this important? Why then did Obama, when he was given the nomination in his acceptance speech at Denver's Mile High Stadium, set up the backdrop so that it appeared as a Greek, a temple. New York Stock Exchange. What kind of building do you think that they run around and they're cheating and plundering the people of America
in? It's a temple.
It's a Greek temple with a great goddess and devil pedophile men reaching down to grab children on each side of her. You think I'm kidding you? I'm telling you, that's the New York Stock Exchange.
No, it's all in.
Temple.
It's all in mysterious monuments.
Mysterious monuments.
Tell them about
yeah.
the guy that built the stuff in Tennessee, and then there was these rumors about what was in the pyramid when they got into it. It really was there.
Well, Isaac Tegret was head of the founder, a multimillionaire of Hard Rock Cafes. Now, you know these t-shirts that run around the kids wear, and they have a great big sun sign. Just a big sun that says Hard Rock Cafe, because he worshipped the great sun god, or I believe it, Lucifer. Mr. Tegret went over to Egypt, and he bribed guards. This is by his own testimony. This was in the American Airlines in-flight magazine, by the way. They had a picture of him, and I show that in this book. He went to Egypt, and he bribed the security guards to let him spend the night alone deep inside the bowels of the pyramid in the king's chamber, where the empty stone sarcophagus or coffin is. He said that in the deep of night, deep inside the bowels...
Oh, that's where Crowley did that, too.
Aleister Crowley, the great British Satanist, did the very same thing. The man who called himself the Beast, 666. So Isaac Tegret did this, and he said at midnight, a great light came to him. Okay? Now, I knew what this was. In the ancient mystery religions, they call this the sun at midnight. It's an occult ritual.
Black sunshine.
Yeah. And this great light came and illuminated the king's chamber, and a voice told him, Isaac Tegret, you must go to the United States, to the city of Memphis, the sister city of Memphis in Egypt, and build a great American pyramid like this one. He did it. He went to Memphis. Here this multimillionaire went, and he teamed up with the head of the Denver basketball team, Sidney Schlenker, whose wife was arrested for drugs, but that's all another cocaine and everything. That's another story. But they got together with the city fathers of Memphis, and they built the great American pyramid. Now, many people began this rumor, this gossip. These crazy people, these conspiracy theorists, said that at the very apex of that building, that Isaac Tegret had placed a small a steel box, a secret little box, about the size of a cigar box. And in it was something that would prove that building was dedicated to the devil. Well, everybody laughed about it, even the mayor and the city council. But it got so bad, you know, because Memphis has a big history of voodoo and such there in Tennessee, that city of Memphis. They said, we've got to dispel the rumors. They took a huge crane in there, believe it or not, spent thousands of dollars, went all the way to the top, to the apex, and said, look for a box that's supposedly welded to the girders right at the top of the pyramid. They found it. He had paid workmen. There was a box. They took it down. This was in the commercial appeal, the Memphis news.
Yeah, you have that in the book.
Absolutely. Have a picture of Tegret giving his Illuminati hand signs, secret hand signs, by the way, hand signs, and as above, so below. But listen to this. When the city fathers, with the cameras whirring, opened it up, they found a velvet pouch. And they opened it up, and there was a crystal skull. A crystal skull.
And there were some other artifacts in there, too. So, again, many buildings are dedicated to devils. Now, I want to tell people something. They won't believe this, but it's true. Underneath the U.S. Capitol building, and remember the great goddess of where? Greece. Stands atop it, okay? The great goddess of the ancients stands atop our capital, and she was placed there in 1860 because that is numerologically coded as 666 in the occult numerological calculations. But underneath the rotunda of the U.S. Capitol building, there is a crypt. And there is a wrought iron area and a recess, and there is a stone sarcophagus. Just like deep in the bowels of the pyramid, it's underneath.
Well, by the way, I've had secular academics on from Canada, other places, where they talk about the Capitol buildings there. But
In Winnipeg,
in 666 calculations, it's got a sarcophagus, and they admit they shut it down and do rituals in there.
Now, Obama figures into this. You see, according to the Illuminati elite, they have two scenarios. Either one is workable, according to how they can rig the election, the voting machines, and such. They have McCain and Palin on one side, and McCain will step down. If he becomes president, he will step down because of his illness. Palin will be the new Esther of Israel. There's some ramifications there we won't talk about now, but she has been chosen for that very purpose, okay? Now, on the other side, if Obama and Biden get in, they have things working out there. You know, Joe Biden, and you quoted him earlier, Joe Biden gave a speech yesterday in which he talked about this great event that is going to occur.
By the way, just up on PrisonPlanet.com, just broken. Colin Powell warns of coming crisis we don't even know about yet. European Union head, British head, they say a huge attack is coming as soon as he gets inaugurated to test them and to test us.
Yeah.
So these guys, just like 9/11, they said
prepared.
Get ready. That's why I went on air and said they'll probably attack the World Trade Center. I mean, not even hard to predict. Mm-hmm. They are getting us ready, Tex.
They are. Now, Biden said, not only they're going to attack, they're going to test Obama. But he said it for Obama, this task will be as if he is going to be forced or given the mission of cleaning out, now get this, the Aegean stables. What was that all about? The Aegean stables.
Hercules.
Hercules. He's going to be the new Hercules, the son of Zeus. That's the reason for
and
the
again,
Greek
just like they
backdrop.
Called the bombing thing in Iraq, shock and awe.
Shock and awe.
And I mean, explain that. I mean, they are obsessed with religion. And then I notice all the New Agers and stuff, they'll claim they're atheists and attack me. And they always attack Christianity. But then you find out very soon that most of the atheist groups, they're openly occultists. They don't even hide it.
Well,
they say, your stuff doesn't exist, but our God does.
Well, think of communism. You think of them as the ultimate in atheism. And yet Karl Marx's own, he's the father of it all, right, with his theology, his ideology of Marxism, in his books, Das Kapital and the Communist Manifesto. But Marx, his own housekeeper said, had a small room set aside and had black candles and would put one of these Jewish prophylactic things around his head and would worship the devil. He was a devil. They have a God, all right, but it's not our God. It's the devil. And this devil is tied to all of these ancient mystery religions of Greece, Rome, Babylon, and so forth. But I want people to understand this. The Aegean stables that Biden says Obama is going to be tested and have to clean out, this is from the 12 labors of Hercules. And one of them, he was so powerful, he diverted the waters and the great of this great river, and the waters came forth, and they cleaned out the stables. So the great waters, the dangers, and of course this all relates
and he's also saying,
to Bible prophecy.
And he's saying he's going to have carbon taxes. He's saying he's going to bring in regulating every facet of our lives, controlling us. I mean, people are thinking, change, regardless of what happens. We are about to see, folks, all the craziness you've seen, this is nothing compared to what's going to happen now. I mean, from a secular perspective, it's bad enough. And these people are occultic nutcases. I mean,
they are. You know, people
we're
out
not,
there may say, Alex, I'm not religious. I'm not spiritual. I don't lie. Why don't you just stick with politics and economics? Hey, it's not us that set up the religious round table with Henry Kissinger and Rick Warren, America's so-called pastor.
number one New York Times
on the Bohemian Grove headquarters in San Francisco. On the Bohemian Grove headquarters in San Francisco, it's guys in hoods carved in stone with a baby throwing it in the fire.
Yeah, worshiping a great god, Moloch, who, by the way, was the great god of credit and money.
Yeah.
Back in the Canaanites.
That was the big bull.
The
and then occultists
guy,
always have double and triple meanings. We know that it's not an owl, but they're calling it Moloch and saying it's an owl.
You have to understand there's always a feminine and a masculine aspect.
No, I know that, but then all the occultists get mad at me for talking about it. So, but being in the hidden, none of them ever attack me on criticizing it. They make up lies and say I'm wrong and don't understand the occult. Just like I had the Bohemian Grove Action Network and other people get real mad at me for talking about they were doing rituals there. They said, stick to the politics. And then we showed up and saw the local leaders with the witch's pot. It's in it's in Order of Death doing their own spell with the state police guarding them. So they always say, oh, be an atheist. And you show up and they're, why? I mean, you know.
Well, they're opposed to Christianity. That's why. And actually, they hate Islam. And let me go even one step further. They hate the Old Testament God of the Jews, too. So let's go to all the monotheistic religions.
That's right. To be clear,
they must all be ended.
Let's be clear. The Jews were captured and brought into Babylon. That's where they got.
That's right.
The Talmud and the Zoroaster and the all those other books.
Yeah, and even brought in the worship of Moloch and all of these false gods. And that's why Jesus said,
the Zohar. What's the other ones?
Well, there's the Zohar, which is the Book of Splendor. There's a number of Kabbalistic books.
But that's all post Old Testament. That's yeah.
But they brought it together. Albert Pike, who wrote the classic Masonic textbook, Morals and Dogma, said that Jewish Kabbalism is the very foundation of Freemasonry. So all of these things, and the ancient mystery religions, they all come together. You mentioned this nexus. There is a nexus. There is an intersection of evil in which all of these groups, political, economic, and spiritual, come together. Now let's get back to this Obama. Is he going to be the great leader of Sparta, the great god of the Greeks? And is this the reason why in Mysterious Monuments I point out that the Greek, you know, I have Greek friends. I cannot.
We have major newspapers now saying he's like Jesus. Biden saying he's worshiping him.
When he was in Berlin and gave that great speech before hundreds of thousands of Berliners, they made sure the backdrop was the great phallic pole with the great goddess Victory. Okay, on top of it. So this is very symbolic. Everything is symbolic. And we have to keep in mind that these people are deep into symbology. And these things have meaning for them.
By the way, years ago you said Madonna was doing rituals on stage. They laughed at you. Now she admits it's been rituals for over a decade. We'll be right back. The elite loves telling us big stuff's coming in the future, big terror attacks. It's a message to all their cronies that it's an inside job. They love to throw it in our face right now on PrisonPlanet.com. Very important article. Colin Powell warns of coming crisis we don't even know about. Because now the public will see Obama as somebody new, and then, oh, we've been hit again by terrorists. We've got to take even more freedoms and liberties. So incredible to see this. You were just showing me during the break one of the mausoleums of Mausolus, one of the largest banks in the world, is taking a new path to intercept the future. And, you know, there it is from their own ad showing everyone. You were making a point about Greece when we went into the break.
Think about this, though. Death and money. Talk about a nexus. Death and money. So here is an actual tomb atop the Bankers Trust building. Actually, it's a Greek temple atop that. You know, in the Bible, it's interesting, the book of Daniel says the last day's world kingdom, okay, the last day's new world order, and its leader will come out of not Egypt, not even Israel, but Greece. That sort of doesn't say not, that he will be racially Greece, but the kingdom will have sort of a Grecian theme, the way Obama had the Grecian backdrop when he accepted.
And all the West monuments are like that.
Yeah, so this Greek thing. One of the top occultists in the world is a man named Jeffrey Hodson. He wrote a book called The Brotherhood of Angels and Men. He's talking about dark angels, of course, and how men should communicate with them. And his spirits, these demons, told him, we are Greece reincarnate. Now, I think that's sort of an interesting thing. But wait, the Zionists have brought back the mystery religions, because just as you well stated, even Jesus said, he noted that they came from Babylon, and the Babylonians and the Greeks and the Romans and the Egyptians all had basically the same religion. They worshiped the unholy Trinity, the Father, Son, God.
And that's how, no matter what group it is, it's the same religion.
Absolutely. And that's why Zeus is actually Neptune or Poseidon. That's why the goddess is not only in her guise as the Statue of Liberty, but the Statue of Freedom atop the U.S. Capitol building. And she has been called the goddess of a thousand names, by the way. So you see her statue ever. Mother Russia has a great goddess statue. There's a great goddess inside a rebuilt Greek temple to Athena called the Parthenon in Nashville, Tennessee. And you'll remember that the Vanderbilt family had a lot to do with
that. It's always the rich elites that build these temples.
Absolutely.
We go, oh, what a nice building. They're just everywhere.
Well, Vanderbilt built the Grand Central Terminal. He was a railroad magnate. He built the Grand Central Terminal in New York City, which is a great Greek temple. And the great god Hermes is atop it. And by the way, he's holding, he was also called Mercury, and he's holding the caduceus, the two serpents, yin and the yang, as above, so below, with a phallic pole in his hand. And that stands, this great statue of Hermes or Mercury, this great god from the Roman Egyptian pantheon of gods, stands atop the Grand Central Terminal, a railroad station, which has been made in sort of a museum now, in New York City, overlooking the great city, just as the Greek temple and the great goddess overlook Wall Street. So we have to understand that these mystery religions are tied in with the Illuminati elite, and everything has been set out. There is an agenda. Now, this great event that's going to occur, I want people to understand something. Remember, Biden said, we're going to have to clean out the Aegean stables, okay? It's one of the labors of Hercules, the great god who was the son of Zeus. Now, in front of the Rockefeller Center in New York City is a great statue of the son of Zeus. And in stone on the wall of the Rockefeller Center there in New York City is a great image carved in stone of Zeus. And he's holding the Masonic compass in his hand, surveying the whole globe. So you find this Zeus and you find his son.
Stay there, Tex.
Okay,
final
everywhere.
Segment. We're going to be back in 1 minute with Tex Mars. In fact, John, let's go ahead and skip this break. I want to talk just 1 minute with Tex, and we'll come back to the full audience in 70 seconds. Man, Tex, this went by too quick.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. But it's fun.
Well, I can do this. I can hold you to 15 after, and then I just won't be able to walk you out. I can just say bye to you.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You want to do it that way?
Let's do that.
Okay. Do me a favor, John. Call Webster Tarpley right now and just say we're going to call him about 10 after, that we're behind. Will you do that for me, John?
I sure will.
Fantastic, because I want to let Tex finish up. He's got all these notes we haven't even gotten to. Maybe just rapid fire, go through those for everybody that is out there.
You know, we need to talk about that great event that Colin Powell says is going to occur.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Joe Biden says is going to occur. Remember that Colin Powell, this weekend, when he endorsed Obama for president, called him a transformational.
No, that's what
president.
They're all saying. Yeah,
that's right.
We're going into the transformation.
That's right.
And they need to get the left and the Hispanics, blacks, and others. You know, he's seen worldwide as, oh, the racist Americans have got a black guy. You know, it's just a front or a cover. And then they believe that he'll be able to get by with much more than an old white guy would be able to. I really think it's going to be Obama. I may be proven wrong. Here we go. We are now into hour number four. Webster Tarpley coming up in about 12, 14 minutes from now, continuing with the election discussion. Whether you believe in this or not, we are secularly, Tex and I have to be Christians, but that doesn't, quote, taint our view, as some would say. We are just analytically, like anthropologists, studying, like we were studying, say, ancient China. You know, what did the Ming Dynasty worship? Well, you know, they were these pantheists, or they were these animists. or they were Buddhist, or whatever they were. The point is, we are just reporting on the mindset of the elites. If you're tracking serial killers, you study what the serial killers' beliefs are. And if you're tracking somebody else, we're studying this. They are deep occultists. They are obsessed with it. It's all they do. It's all they spend time doing. This great event that Colin Powell and Joe Biden and the media and the British Prime Minister and the European leaders, they say something huge is coming. We know what it is, but we won't tell you. And the media says, oh, gee, okay, we won't even ask what it is, because they all know how to be good little minions. Tex Mars, what is this big event, do you think?
Well, we have to look at what Obama has been aiming for, okay? Now, Brzezinski is one of his handlers. Brzezinski, of course, was head of the National Security Council under Jimmy Carter, member of the CFR, the trial. In fact, he co-founded the Trilateral Commission with Rockefeller. And he is a hater of Russia. Now, they have developed a new stable of enemies, okay? These are the new enemies. You know, just like 1984, ever so often they have a new stable. Could talk about the AG and stables. Well, here's the new stable of enemies. It's Pakistan. Remember, this is an Islamic nation of 170 million people.
This is the government that Israel, the U.S., and England gave nukes to.
Oh, yes.
Oh, and now, big problem.
Well, the problem is that an Islamic nation, okay, has nukes. Now, Musharraf was basically kicked out, forced out, and now the husband of Benazir Bhutto, he's a very weak man, but he's a good man, he is the new president of Pakistan. But he is not pro-America or pro-Israel or pro-Illuminati.
Enough.
That's right. Now, Benazir Bhutto, the lady who was assassinated.
They machine-gunned her on TV and said she hit her head.
Yeah.
Just like Kennedy. Yeah. They should have just said Kennedy hit his head.
She had gone on the David Frost show just several weeks
before.
And said
Bin Laden's been dead. It's all staged.
Bin Laden is dead. Bin Laden is dead. The same people that killed him are now wanting to kill me. But Bin Laden is needed as to be the boogeyman, as Ahmadinejad is needed.
Used to go into Pakistan.
That's right. Next year, Ahmadinejad is leaving office. He's very unpopular. And by the way, he is an elected leader. He's not a dictator. And it looks like he will be kicked out of office. But they need him, as well as bin Laden, to be the two boogeymen of the world. So I believe that Pakistan and Russia and Iran are all going to figure in this great transformational event.
And that's going to be war.
Oh, it's going to be World War III. And by the way, what we're going to see.
And by the
right
way,
now,
we kept saying they're going to attack Iraq. They're going to attack Iraq. And they said, oh, shut up. You keep saying it's this month or next month. No, we don't. We say they're gearing up. They've said they're going to do it. And but I'm saying previously we said Iraq, and they ended up doing it. And they're gearing up. They just snuck attack Russia through Georgia. So, folks, this is serious.
Well, the new prime minister of Israel has yet to take office. Zippy Livni, I think her name is. She's the foreign minister, has been. She's a Likudnik all the way. She's for bomb, bomb, bomb Iran, the Beach Boys. She could sing a little duet with McCain if he were in office. So she is a very deadly person. If she doesn't get it, of course, if Netanyahu somehow slides in there, he again is a Freemason. He has admitted, I was initiated into Freemasonry when he went to the university here in the United States. So we have these Likudniks who want to go to war right away. But more than that, we have the Kabbalistic rabbis behind this. And they have a great agenda of the ages to bring forth a new order of the ages.
And remember, the head rabbi said that Bush told him privately, don't worry, Iran will be attacked.
Yes. Now, they believe that the West, the leader of the West, is the head of Gog and Magog. Now, this may sound strange, these names, Gog and Magog, but that's in the Bible in Ezekiel 38. They believe the role of the West, the role of the leaders of the West, is to attack in the Middle East, to smash all the enemies of Israel.
Stay there,
but
Tex.
In turn, be smashed themselves.
Okay, we're going to skip this break, too. Go ahead. I just have to skip breaks. So we're going to have you continue.
Okay.
You don't have headphones on. Did you talk to Tarpley? John?
He's waiting in the wings. He's going to hold till you're done.
Okay, we're going to come back to him in the next break for Webster. Okay, finish up with what you were saying.
Well, we're going to see definitely a transformational event. And certainly Obama will be tested. But it'll all be a staged event, okay?
Everything is in place now. All the pieces of the puzzle. It's like a great Broadway production, and they bring in this actor and that actor and this backdrop and this backdrop, and the curtains are ready. And, of course, you know, everything's set up to go. This is the deal with Obama, and it'll happen even if McCain and Palin get in. But I agree with you, it'll probably be Obama. Because he's younger, he's more capable, he's ready to go.
He can sucker the public. He can sucker the public better.
And Americans are always on a honeymoon with the new president. They give him a certain amount of time.
And McCain's kind of seen as a Bush 3.
Yeah, McCain is a Bush 3. He's older. This guy's more vigorous. He is ready to go. And so when this transformational event that will catapult him into becoming a transformational president, this great event occurs, it will literally be something so amazing, it will make 9/11 look puny.
Well, they're saying it's going to be nukes. That's an AFP today.
Yeah.
They're saying we're going to get hit by nukes. Now, I don't know if that's the case.
It will probably, if they blame it on Hezbollah or the Al-Qaeda and say that Iran and Syria masterminded it, it will be discovered by the intelligence agencies that Putin and Russia and somehow the ISI, the intelligence agency of Pakistan were involved. These are the new enemies of the new world order. But guess what? They have nukes. This will be World War III, and it will end with horrible, horrible destruction. So don't even think about Wall Street. I see a little blimp upward. I see a little sucker rally for people to get
dead
involved
cat
in
bounce.
The dead cat bounce. That's right. They throw it off of the Bankers Trust Building, the tomb of Mausolus down on Wall Street below, and it bounces. One big bounce. People get in. They say everything is over. Everything is going to be great again. And by the way, one of the things that they're doing is driving the price of oil down now. They drove it up, and now the same people, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, their analysts are putting out reports. Oil is going to go down.
I was reading that upwards of 90% of the oil speculation was driven by Goldman Sachs.
Yeah, Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley. They're the only two left standing, by the way, with the great big festival of death on Wall Street.
We have this vertical integration happening.
Yeah, and Goldman Sachs, you have Henry Paulson there. And by the way, before him, the Clinton administration had Robert Rubin, who came from what Wall Street firm?
Goldman Sachs.
Well, Goldman Sachs. And Mr. Neil Kashkari, okay?
Goldman Sachs.
Goldman Sachs. Of course, there they are.
Hold on. Final segment. We're going to Tarpley here in a moment. Here we go.
On the GCN Radio Network.
In just a couple minutes, we're going to Webster Tarpley for the rest of the hour. Really appreciate him joining us to track what's happening with the election. Wow, Tex Mars and Webster Tarpley agreeing that Obama is the New World Order's man. I tell you, it's getting crazier and crazier. Get his book, Mysterious Monuments, What These Nuts Are Into, at InfoWars.com. Amazing book we've been talking about. Or call toll-free to get it, 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139. And you'll be able to watch this video we're doing live right now at PrisonPlanet.tv. That's posted for the members there as well. Just in 2 minutes closing, and for Tarpley, I want to get his comment on this as soon as you leave us. Colin Powell, Gordon Brown, we've got Nicolas Sarkozy, we've got the Israeli leaders, we've got Joe Biden all saying massive terror attack, probably nuclear. That's what AFP is reporting today, is going to happen to test Obama. They're testing us. Are we going to get tough and have bigger wars? And, you know, we can sit here and smile about it because, you know, we got good cheer. And I laugh because it's so crazy. But God help us, because they need something to start World War III, and they need a global meltdown to bring in their new world order. So closing comments on that, Tex Mars.
Well, I'm convinced this is a prophetic scenario right out of Ezekiel 38 and 39. But it's interesting that they're the ones playing out this scenario. It's almost like they're compelled. They have to do it. They're obsessed with this framework.
Well, look at how they're bringing in the implantable microchips. Look at how they, the mark to buy and sell. I mean, they just can't help it.
No, they can't help it. And that's why it's going to occur. And by the way, leave you with one thing. Gog and Magog, these mysterious devil demons that bring the whole world into catastrophe with war in the last days. In London, England, at Guildhall, where the mayor of England is, they have erected statues inside this. They have actual chapel or sanctuary in London, England. And they have secret rituals there at Guildhall. They have erected statues of the idols Gog and Magog. You say, that's incredible. They're in Roman the warrior uniforms, and they have been placed behind the or next to the altar in the chapel of Guildhall. People, you don't believe it? Go to Google and type in Gog, Magog, London, Guildhall. They actually have idol statues of Gog and Magog.
And
it's ready to go.
And the point is here, folks, just from a secular perspective, these nuts really are into the occult. They really do believe all of this. Elites always go insane throughout history. It is now happening. And folks can get a copy of your gorgeous newsletter for free each month. Give folks the number to call and get that.
Well, folks can go to powerofprophecy.com, powerofprophecy.com, or call us toll-free, 1-800-234-9600. I've only been there 22 years.
Listen, I've got so many computer codes and house codes and safe codes and gun safe codes.
9670.
Give it out. I'm the same way.
1-800-234-9670.
This morning I had to call the guys because I got here first. I had to call and say, what's the code to the office? So much. I mean, it's kind of like absent-minded professor.
Give as it. Long as you remember your wife's birthday and your anniversary, you're safe, Alex. Just remember that as a young man. I remember those two things.
No, but give them the number.
Yeah, 1-800-234-9670. And ask for the free edition, the newsletter.
Give it again.
Power Prophecy. 1-800-234-9670. Okay,
hey, Tex, awesome having you
here.
Thank
you, Alex.
Thank you much for coming in and say hi to the whole crew and to Wanda for me.
God bless you, and keep up your great work here. And these people are out there that are disinformation agents, paid operatives of Mossad and the CIA. Hey, they're there because they're worried because you're making an impact. That's why they've targeted folks like you and me. And this audience out there has to know this is our time. Talk about what Obama said. This is our opportunity to tell the absolute unvarnished truth.
Tex, thanks for coming in.
All right, my friend. Bye-bye.
Take care. All right. I appreciate Webster Tarpley finishing. I got Tex on a little bit late. We've got him for the rest of the hour. He's got two books out on Obama. And we really appreciate him coming on the show with us today. Out of the gates, Webster, I have AFP, I have Reuters, I have articles that we've done that condense it all. Colin Powell warns of coming crisis we don't even know about right now. Terror attacks, Joe Biden saying the same thing. Webster, what are they getting us ready for? This is extremely cryptic.
I think, Alex, thank you for having me today. I think we have to look at this Seattle outburst by Biden is absolutely fundamental, right? That there's a generated crisis coming. It's going to involve Russia. The righteousness of the U.S. position will not be immediately apparent. And I do agree. He's talking about a return to false flag operations in grand style. Now, you'll remember one of the complaints coming from the Obama forces, the Atlantic Monthly in particular, a guy called Andrew Sullivan, who's one of the leading Kool-Aid drinkers for Obama, back in December, and this is quoted in this book of mine, Obama, the Postmodern Coup, he says, right now, it would be impossible to have a false flag. I'm sort of simplifying the language to get to the reality of it. But he says, right now, our imperialism can no longer use false flag because Bush is so hated and so discredited that if we had a false flag event and Bush came forward blaming country X, no one would believe him, virtually nobody would believe him, and a significant majority, a minority at least, would say, you did it yourself, Bush. You are responsible. So Andrew Sullivan presented Obama as a way to refurbish the credibility of the U.S. regime at home and abroad so that they could then proceed to a new round of false flag operations. And indeed, this is pretty much what I've been writing about all year. The kinds of targets, though, that you've got to look at would be, in the first rank, places like Pakistan and Sudan, where there is a great desire for operations. I would have to disagree with Jim Mars. This guy Zardari is Mr. 15%. He's corrupt as can be. He's one of the greatest kleptocrats of the past 20 years. But the problem is not even for them Zardari or the Prime Minister Gilani of Pakistan. It is the desire for the partition of Pakistan, to split it up. Brzezinski writes these books, Second Chance and others.
Well, the British have already tried to do that once.
Well, they're trying again, and then the whole purpose of having these bloody attacks by the U.S. into northwest Pakistan has nothing to do with this crazy mythology of bin Laden.
No, I understand, but let's go back to the incredible bombshell you just dropped on us. And I agree with you. Obama's their new horse. Obama's fresh. He can, you know, reinvigorate things. McCain would be seen as Bush 3. And certainly the media has totally swung into favor of Barack Obama. If it wasn't clear before, it certainly is. The Wall Street money's pouring in, 100-something million in one week. It's just 150 million in 1 week. It's all off the charts. They're even suddenly all over ESPN running all these shows about black athletes and all they went through and tying it into Obama. I mean, I've never seen a full court press like this going on. And if there is an attack stirring up something with Russia, you know, this isn't Iraq, this isn't Afghanistan. I mean, where do you see them starting anew? They already tried in Georgia with Russia and then what type of false flag would be used to somehow blame Russia?
Well, the countries that would be targeted, again, would be in the first rank, the most obvious ones. Sudan. Biden, in other speeches, has been constantly calling for an attack on Sudan.
So a smaller snack to embolden him to say, look how well he handled Pakistan, where Obama said he wants to go.
Well, wait, we have to think of a broad range of possibilities. The most obvious are Sudan and Pakistan. Obama is on record demanding the bombing and actually land invasion of Pakistan. When Obama said in his convention stadium speech, we've got to go and get Osama bin Laden in the cave where he lives, that means invade Pakistan in their language. Biden has been the big guy calling for an attack on Sudan. But, of course, behind this is the question of Russia and China and whether they would dare to try to do something to pin terrorism on Putin or the Chinese leadership or some other combination, or it might be something reaching into a place like Kazakhstan. You just don't know. That would give a possibility of delving further into the soft.
So to give him the name as, oh, look, he's already won something up front, to then build him up as a war leader for a larger confrontation with Russia?
Well, I don't know if we can be so specific about the details right now, but it's clear that what he's talking about, where it's not going to be apparent that we're right, as Biden says in this famous outburst of yesterday, it's going to be, in other words, a hard sell, because I think one of the benefits of the 9/11 truth movement, one of the things that you and others and I have been able to accomplish, is that there is a great deal more skepticism about false flag. I would add, under McCain, this would be virtually hopeless. It would be virtually hopeless for McCain to come out and say, some bomb went off, country X did it, this is now the new enemy, let's run to attack country X. Very hard to do. With Obama, there is at least a fighting chance for these imperialists to get credibility, because Obama has this hard core of dedicated fanatical supporters, the left liberals, the Kool-Aid drinkers, this personality cult that has coalesced around him. Again, with these strong fascistoid overtones, they will be out there. This is what Obama is saying. We will need you to stand with us, because it's not going to be apparent that we're right. The other possibility, of course, is sort of on the lines of Georgia. We saw Georgia under Saakashvili.
Using proxies.
Yeah, using proxies. And in the case of Georgia, it was not apparent that the U.S.-NATO position was right. It was rather apparent that it was wrong, that Saakashvili and Georgia were clearly the aggressors. Maybe there's some other situation like this, something involving Ukraine or Poland. You got to remember that the real strategic heart of the world is not the Persian Gulf by any stretch of the imagination. It's Eastern Europe. That's the Haushofer-Mackinder heartland. It more or less coincides with places like Poland and the Ukraine.
It's those crossroads.
If you start something there, then everything is at stake immediately, because the ICBMs are on both sides.
And then suddenly you'll have the left all behind it, just like the Vietnam War and LBJ.
That is the advantage that Obama brings. He can mobilize 200,000 German lemmings in Berlin, and he can mobilize his Kool-Aid legions and cult following here in the United States.
And boy, are they Kool-Aid legions. Every time I have you on, we get threatening phone calls from people saying we need to be arrested. I mean, we are in big troubles. Let's skip this break.
Phase one.
Webster, I'm going to continue on the web here at PrisonPlanet.tv. Skipping, it's too important. Sorry I got you on late. I was finishing up with Tex.
I understand.
Specifically, though, they're going to. Where do you see false flag in this? Setting off a nuke at a U.S. base in Pakistan? Setting off a nuke in Israel?
The entire range of possibilities, and I guess we've got to go.
Yeah, but Powell loves to brag. Biden loves to brag. The French president, all of them are saying, we know what it is. We can't tell you it's going to be big. And AFP says it's nuke. Nuke incident would make 9/11 insignificant, nuke commission. I mean, they are really pouring the fear on again.
The door is now reopening. And again, this all depends on getting Obama elected. I would remind people, back in May of 2005, we had a similar situation in Europe, in France specifically. There was this monstrous European constitution, which was pure oligarchy, elitism, the rule of the bankers, horrendous kind of stuff.
And it got shot down in France and
the
other.
It was rejected. And in that situation in France, you had all of the parties and all of the media were telling everybody, you've got to vote for this. If you don't vote for it, you're a racist, you're a neo-Nazi, and all this.
But they have integrity in their machines. We don't have integrity, Webster.
Well, you know, vote fraud can manufacture 10-15%. I don't know. I think these polls are all faked. That is what we know for sure. In Obama, the postmodern coup, I make this lengthy comparison between the Obama campaign and what went on in Ukraine or Georgia or these other places. And fake polling is absolutely fundamental. So I think right now you have to discount all polling. It's all a fake. I see a great wave of fear and loathing against Obama, which is now overpowering the residual hatred of Bush-Cheney and the Republicans.
No, I agree with you, but I interrupted. Finish up your analogy with the treaty failing 3 years ago and then failing again in Ireland with the Lisbon.
Yeah, and the Netherlands, too. In other words, when you have an attempt to ram an oligarchical, elitist, banker's monstrosity down the head of a people that I think the American people are still anti-fascist at heart and a desire to be free, there's always the possibility that you get this kind of a backlash against international financiers and the kinds of things that they, like Obama, recommend. So I think we may be headed into something like that. In other words, a stunning defeat for the oligarchical power machine just based on the fact...
Wait, you're predicting you think Obama is going to lose?
Yeah, sure, why not? Of course he can lose. Of course he can lose, because these are all fake polls. I don't see any reason to believe any of these.
All right, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens.
The polling situation is now so fake that Gallup has two polls. They have one poll which is traditional and another poll which is expanded. And expanded means, you know, any freak can get on there. They ask you a question, have you ever voted before? No, but I'm going to vote for Obama. Normally that would disqualify you because it means that you're not going to vote. But in the expanded poll, they'll put you on there as a percentage point for Obama because they want to gin up a big...
Now, I understand the tricks with polls. I'm sure the listeners know about that as well. I mean, look, it's just horrible any way you cut it. And, I mean, Palin is completely scary. I don't know.
Well, wait. Palin, you don't really know who Palin is at all. They've surrounded her with a bunch of unemployed neocons who have been brainwashing her. I think she's probably better. She's a little bit like Wagner's music. She's better than it sounds. But the main thing to look at is structure. In other words, do you want a one-party regime, Obama, Pelosi, Reid? That is the Mussolini fascist corporate state. If you have divided government, say McCain...
Yeah, you'll have a dead duck with McCain, totally lame. And here we go back to the full audience.
Yeah.
He's pounded down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just like old Bandit Run. Keep your foot hard on the pedal, son, never mind them brakes. Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana.
I'm controlling myself. Instead of singing, I was lip-singing for PrisonPlanet.tv. Eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking. That's Aaron's favorite song. I'm trying to laugh and have fun. We have the banks completely raping us, setting up a world dictatorship of the banking elite. You get 95, 98, depending on the poll. 1,000-to-1 phone calls into Congress against the banker takeover bill. They still just do it. So the people are waking up, but the elite is just going ahead with it all. You got Colin Powell and Biden and all of them running around fear-mongering, saying get ready for massive events that will test us. It's Webster Tarpley, where do you see all this going, my friend?
Well, the main thing is to come out of this not having a one-party totalitarian state. In other words, the worst possible outcome is Obama, Pelosi, and Reid. That is the fascist corporate state. That will, in particular, trample on the First Amendment and free speech in a way that Bush and Cheney never dreamed of. And they will do this with the help of their myrmidons, right, this fanatical cult following, the squadristi or Sturmabteilung or whatever you want to call it, that they have going both on the Internet and also in the streets and in the gutters. The minimum to come out of this with, I would say, is divided government. In other words, the president of one party and the Congress of another party, and let's have trench warfare between them. Let's have partisan gridlock. Let's have paralysis. Let's have the most extreme form of confrontation, because the issues are huge. There is a depression now. We are descending into a new world economic and financial depression of tremendous severity. McCain has no answers. The Democratic side actually do have answers. Their answer is the fascist corporate state. We had this guy Cramer go on CNBC last Thursday saying that they want more bailouts, more trillions, in effect, for Wall Street and the derivatives. And Cramer under questioning, he wants to loot the Social Security Trust Fund of $100 billion, for starters, to try to shore up toxic derivative paper. Now, this is impossible. It's a futile gesture because the derivatives are a quadrillion. $100 billion is gone in a matter of seconds. But this is what they would do. In order for them to do that in the full scope of what they have in mind, they've got to have the one-party state. They've got to have Pelosi.
I agree, but Webster,
a veto-proof majority.
How obvious is it that Obama's bad when you have the big Republican front man who shook the vial of anthrax and said they had nukes to the UN, and now he's the darling of the left, and he says Obama's good, and he said on Meet the Press it's going to be this transformative person of Obama. And he went on to say, because he knows what to do with the banker bailouts, and McCain didn't want to do it. So he's, my goodness, we're getting an endorsement from the good old boy club right there.
Well, Colin Powell's an interesting story. I think the thing that motivates him most of all is his ne'er-do-well wastrel son, Michael Powell. Colin Powell's a nepotist, and I think when he signed on as Secretary of State with Bush Cheney, he said, I'll take this job, but I want a plum post for my idiot son, Michael Powell. And that was the Federal Communications Commission. And you'll remember, Michael Powell was on the one side a servant of the cartels and the monopolies and the oligopolies of the communications industry. On the other side, he had this vendetta against Howard Stern, clashed with Howard Stern. And Howard Stern had the presence of mind to say, look, you're only here because of your father. You have no talent. You're simply a hanger-on, and you got your job because of your famous father. Now, Colin Powell now has to take care of Michael Powell for another 10 years in another administration, this time with Democrats. So he's trying to fix up his son. The parallel to this, very interesting distant mirror, Field Marshal von Hindenburg, another soldier who became a politician, was, of course, the main German commander in World War I, then became, after 1925, the president of Germany, the president of the Weimar Republic. Up until 1933, Hindenburg had always said, I will never let this bohemian corporal Hitler ever become president of Germany. This is unspeakable. The guy is a gutter snipe. Eventually, though, it turned out his son, Oskar von Hindenburg, had gambling debts and problems with embezzlement and possible criminal charges. And at that point, the Nazis pulled that chain, and Hindenburg caved in.
All right, stay there. Got to break, Webster. And it's the same thing at a lower level with Oliver Stone making these government worship films like W. I mean, he's got all these drug convictions and is facing prison if he doesn't sell out. Webster Tarpley's our guest. Stay with us.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
All right, let me bring me back to Webster, and I'm skipping everything. This is too important. Webster, continue. You know, I hope you're right. It's disgusting and sick to say. I'm not even saying I'm voting for him, but look, there's so much election fraud.
Voting.
But
I mean, voting one miserable little vote.
No, I just can't bring myself for
you
McCain.
Can move millions of votes, Alex, with your voice can move millions of votes. And I think there are three considerations. Stop Obama at all costs.
Mm-hmm.
Punish those who supported the bailout. And come out of it with divided government.
No, I understand that, and I agree with you. It's just, I know Obama is vehemently, like no president ever, if he becomes an anti-gun. He says he's going to ban most guns. It's incredible. I mean, most rifles. 308, 223, everything. Anything that, quote, it could be used in the military. He is for total open borders. He is for corporate fascism. And he's got all these well-meaning idiots. Just like all these well-meaning idiots supported George Bush over Bill Clinton, not knowing they're all puppets. But I agree. I mean, I've never seen such corporate support and the media spinning against everywhere but Fox, against John McCain. And Fox is so cartoonish, no one takes it serious. And, I mean, I agree that McCain will be absolutely a dead duck as president and won't be able to get anything done and will be hated, and then things will kind of just fall apart. Versus Obama, I mean, he really wants to be the world ruler, and he's got the backing to do it. So, but you really think that he can be beaten?
Absolutely he can, because I think all of these polls are fake. I don't see any groundswell for Obama. I see fear and loathing. The other thing is, let's go through who's fighting. Phil Berg is fighting with that lawsuit in Philadelphia. He just filed new court papers yesterday. These are now admissions, and it says to the Obama campaign, if you don't respond to these statements within 30 days, you have admitted to them, and out you go. Now, 30 days, unfortunately, is no longer enough, but that's another move by Berg, and that may get him onto one of these cable TV networks. Larry Sinclair is still fighting. He's still touring. We've got a group called the Real Democrats, who are organizing Democrats for McCain going into Pennsylvania and Virginia. You've got these wild cards, right? Sometime around now, there's this famous tape by Michelle Obama, who appears together with Madame Farrakhan and makes a racist tirade about a whole series of themes. This has now been expected. I mean, today was a day when some people thought it would come out. I would say it's more likely in about a week. I would say Tuesday, Wednesday of next week.
So it can have maximum effect.
Yeah, maximum effect, and you can't organize a counteroffensive against it because there's not enough time. There are various tapes. There's also this question of the African Press International interview with Michelle Obama, which is also a...
Hold on, we're going back to the full audience. Going back to the full audience. Here we go.
Not the kind of kiss and tell, but I've been seen with Farrah. I've never been with anything less than a nine, so fine. I've been on fire with Sally Field, gone fast with a girl named Bo.
But what is that horrified look on your face out there, Paul? Oh, okay. Everything good?
I take my chances. I die for a living in the movies and...
Oh, I think the TV guys down here want you to boost the audio, John. Crank it up. Blow my eardrums out.
Ladies, kiss some other guy while I'm bandaging my knee.
Hey. You know what we do here? The network puts it up on the satellite uplinks. They're in Minnesota. We're in Austin, Texas. Then we send out our own feeds here and PrisonPlanet.tv feeds. So it is quite a setup here. And I appreciate John Harmon up in Minnesota, Ted Anderson, the whole crew up there. And I appreciate Paul Hartman and everybody else that is down here in my office, Aaron Dykes, Rob Jacobson, Trey Kincaid, a.k.a. Eddie Bear, and his dog is known as Pickle Bear, the Chihuahua. And again, it's in times like these when things are so dark that I try to have a little bit of fun. But very thankful for all our M&FM affiliates, Global Story affiliates, satellite affiliates, the sponsors, the listeners, everybody, and my family, and the good Lord above. Okay, Webster, I'm going to try to just sit back for the rest of the broadcast and try to give you the floor. I've brought up a lot of points. Any way you slice it, going into depression, any way you slice it, police state grid,
You have the same elite that backs Obama, backs McCain. They're in power regardless with either one of these guys. I agree they get more traction with the front man, the new birdcage liner, who's more clean than you know, on the surface than the kind of half-used birdcage liner of McCain with his Bush association. But what I see is the disgusting corporate foundation left, the Noam Chomsky's, you know, who sits there in his office with a million books behind him with that image of, you know, the genius of Earth with this boiled down pap for children, you know, saying basically vote for Obama, you know, not because he's good, because he's better than McCain. And he's not stupid. He knows it means more warmongering, more control. And so just to see the foundation left, they are just such a nasty little crew of ne'er-do-wells. Can you comment on him and others and then get into whatever you like?
I think they were extremely important during the phase of the Democratic primaries. The left liberal foundation-funded gatekeeper or border guard left wing was used by Obama to overwhelm the Clinton machine and get the nomination. Now, since then, a lot of these people have actually become disillusioned with Obama because of his betrayals. I mean, take this FISA question, right? The wiretapping. Obama had pledged that he would filibuster any attempt to renew the FISA shenanigans of Bush and to give retroactive immunity to the telecom companies. And instead, Obama voted for it. He had said that he was against free trade and NAFTA, or suggested he might be, and then he actively embraced it. And then even on the Iraq war, he said, I'll have a timetable, and then his advisor said, no, he's not going to be bound by any silly campaign promises. So some of these left liberals are in crisis, but there are a lot of them that still remain on board. Surely a night of the long knives is coming for them, and I think you get back to this remarkable statement by Biden in Seattle, because he not only says, apparently, that they're going to go back to false flags to get the new enemies list established. He also talks about a systemic economic crisis where the measures that Obama will introduce will be so unpopular that the Obama regime will collapse in the polls. People who are going to say, wait a minute, what decisions are you making, Obama? And why are the polls so low? And Biden has to appeal to them, say, you hardcore of rich elitists, because he's in Seattle. He might have Bill and Melinda Gates there, for all we know, or people of this type, right? Ballmer, people who run Microsoft, sitting there for Biden. And he says, we will have to make economic decisions that are going to be extremely unpopular. And if they're popular, they won't be sound. So we want them to be sound. They're going to be extremely unpopular. This is an amazing document. In other words, I would urge people, organize now for the next 2 weeks on the basis of the fact we have got the printout of the Obama regime. He's going to attack his own base, including these left liberals. He's going to betray his own base. He's going to become unbelievably unpopular. This was something that I had in mind when I did Obama, the postmodern coup, back in the springtime. I went back and wrote a 40-page short history of the Carter regime, the last trilateral puppet with a real catastrophic presidency with Volcker and Brzezinski, and what you see in Carter is that he began collapsing right after the 100 days were over. In other words, 3 months into his first term, his only term, he began collapsing. And I said to myself, well, it took Carter about 12 months to become completely unpopular and basically hated. How long will it take for Obama? Well, certainly less than 12 months because of the increased crisis that we face today, the situation much further far gone than with Carter. So that is what Obama, what Biden has now told us. Biden is a guy, he's got a mind like a rag bag. He deals in fragments of thought, right? He spews them out. He can't shut up. What he's obviously done is told some briefings that he's had. Notice that the two campaigns, McCain and Obama-Biden, were briefed last week at the White House. Now, a White House briefing these days does not mean a Bush-Cheney neocon briefing. It means a principals committee briefing. It means something that's according to the policies expressed by Rice, by Robert Gates, the Brzezinski stooge from the Carter years, Admiral Mullen, and of course Paulson, the most powerful of them all right now, the guy who actually runs the government in the economic and domestic policy. So what Biden seems to be regurgitating here is what he got out of that briefing that they got from the White House, which is that if Obama gets in, the rogue network in the government, the establishment, right, the permanent Washington bureaucracy, or this network that goes through there at any rate, is going to try to start something. Again, it's time to say we don't want to go down that road. Let's reject Obama, and if that means McCain, it's going to be so much harder to organize this stuff. You can't anybody in Europe with McCain. You can't get European troops and European money. You can't get them with McCain any more than you could get them with Bush.
Webster, I want to focus in on what you were just saying because it's important. I don't want this to go over people's heads because they're halfway listening, you know, taking groceries out of the car, writing somebody a ticket or whatever people are out there doing listening. They need a crisis. They need a military crisis so they can flex muscles and popularize him as a tough guy to get people to rally around the government and say, we'll do whatever the commander-in-chief says in these tough economic times because the darn Ruskies or the Pakistanis, you know, they did something wrong. And we've got the elite signaling that they're going to do something big for all those in the know, kind of like we had one of the CFR policymakers, Gary Hart, write a letter to Ahmed Dinajid saying, look, you better do what we say or we'll stage a terror attack on you, pal, and we're not above doing it. So you know, that's a multifaceted threat. Because for the public, you know, they know the public's dumbed down, stuck on their thumbs watching football. And so they openly discuss in thinly veiled discussions. The reason I brought up, so I want you to elaborate on that, A, and then B, the reason I brought up Noam Chomsky, he endorsed 2 days ago Barack Obama. And I'm just so tired of, because somebody talks with a lisp, and says they're intellectual, we fall down like they're an idol at their feet. I mean, I don't claim to be an intellectual, but I mean, I have guests on who are light years, you know, ahead of this guy and really talking about real issues. I'm so tired of the phony right and the phony left. It makes me want to throw up.
Well, again, how can we express this at the polls? Because now there is this election. Given the fact that we have the media whores outdoing themselves in unbelievable excesses of Obamaphilia and groupie behavior, just the idea of defeating the media's favorite candidate would be a liberating experience. The American people, if they could pull themselves together and defeat Obama, that would be a crushing defeat to this mighty Wurlitzer that we've had going for all these
That's right, because they're running a corpse against him like Bob Dole against Clinton in 96, meaning for McCain to lose. And if we put the corpse in office instead of him, they're going to have a lot of trouble putting perfume on that pig.
And again, you don't get the 200,000 German lemmings with McCain. You don't get anything with McCain. You don't get a facelift for imperialism. You get no credibility in Europe, no money, no troops, can't send any more people to Afghanistan. It just puts the whole imperialist operation in a much weaker condition. And again, think about this stuff about the economic policies, right, that he's saying. Biden says, I guarantee you, I promise you, in 1 year, we will be a collapsed regime. In other words, we will have extreme unpopularity because of our economic decisions, I think is what he's talking about, even more maybe than the
Why can't Biden help it? He just loves to talk about what's really going on.
He does. He's not quite aware of what he's talking to. In other words, I think he's got people, again, like Bill and Melinda Gates or this guy Ballmer or others. He's got the money bags people. It's a crowd that delivered about $1 million in two meetings in the Sheraton in Seattle, Washington. So he thinks it's a moment a little bit like Obama talking to the San Francisco group with somebody like Gordon Getty, right? And he goes.
He thinks he's in a comfortable inner sanctum. They're playing the old game of 10, 20 years ago when the media knew to shut up.
The bitter clinger, right? The people who have no jobs and cling to guns, religion, and anti-trade above all. That has been, I think, the insight that a lot of people have into Obama comes from that particular tirade. I think Obama has done the same thing here. But also notice, he's appealing to them, saying, we will require a hardcore of fanatical, determined support that will support us no matter what. And that is, again, an advantage of Obama. And Obama has a following, again, I've called it basically verging on fascism.
Well, you've been saying that for like 10, 11 months, and I was like, eh, now I've run into them. I mean, people I've known for years are like zombies, angry with me. and I'm just like, man, what has come over you? You're just like the Bush supporters. We just cover the facts here. Webster.
But notice with McCain has no base of support, really. There's no group that is absolutely devoted to McCain. Nobody.
Webster, what is
that's
the elite?
That's another advantage.
Yeah, well, I understand. And the listeners do, too. Webster, what is the elite going to do as it becomes even more apparent, more clear, that you have the military-industrial complex, the shadow government run by Wall Street, the internationalists, the Anglo-American aristocracy, oligarchs, running everything, and everything they do is unpopular. Every issue they're on is unpopular. I mean, everything they do is 70 to 95 points, the bailout, you know, 99 points, 1,001 calls or more, against what the people want. I mean, it's becoming so obvious down the road, regardless of who gets elected. How do you see this all playing out? Here's a better way. With a McCain, how does it play out in 60 seconds? With an Obama, how does it play out in 60 seconds?
Well, with McCain, I think it leads to an abortive defeat of the ruling elite. In other words, it leads to a period of prolonged political ferment and indecision and conflict and partisan gridlock and so forth, out of which a real alternative might come. It would be our job to intervene in that and try to bring out of it a viable alternative. We'd have to have an economic program and a whole series of other things. The case of Obama, remember, the genius of fascism is you've got to destroy the institutional basis of resistance. You've got to destroy the Democratic Party, destroy the trade union movement. You do that in part by discrediting them, by making them the bringers of austerity, this savage, brutal, crushing economic regime, right? Forced labor, all of this kind of stuff. You can destroy other institutions, too. The goal is to have a totally atomized population where you have what amounts then to a totalitarian police state confronting people who have no organizations. Right now, there's a tremendous backlash against the financiers, against the bailout, and it's looking for an institution that would express that. It could be all sorts of institutions. I mean, it turned out to be Joe the plumber, right? This one guy comes out and expresses the fact that he doesn't like what Obama wants to do to him economically, and all of a sudden this guy becomes a hero. If you had an organized institution, a party, a union, a club, I don't know what, it could be all sorts of things that are impossible to predict, that would then become the focus of leading an opposition. But the goal of Obama and his crew is to fix it so that all of these institutions will be so destroyed and so wrecked that they'll be unviable and nobody can turn to them.
So it's just total
atomized population.
And by atomized, you mean balkanized down to the smallest level.
In other words, that the regime would confront simply individuals with no serious organizations of any kind, above all, not unions. And not,
well, you know what's going to happen? I mean, Obama is going to come after and try to ban a large portion. He said 223-308. He's going to try it. He's going to bring in a carbon tax. Let's talk about the enforced austerity because, I mean, I get so divorced from left and right, so divorced from both puppets that I kind of intellectually have my nose in the air and just wouldn't look at either one of them. And I got to tell you, Webster, you're right. I looked at Obama, and he couldn't be worse. I mean, this guy is so horrible, and I'm actually ashamed I didn't look at him closely earlier. I'm not omnipresent, as some people seem to think, folks. I'm just a regular guy. And I can't believe how bad he is. I mean, it is. And he's supposedly liberal. He's black. This totally fools people. They have no idea. This is a Hitler, and people just can't see it because he's got black skin.
Yes, and that's one of the reasons that his career has been fostered was to prepare him. I think over as many as 25 years, he has been indoctrinated and fostered and prepared for this.
So tell us about the austerity. Tell us
also. Yeah, you have to remember that whatever he says is the merest hint of what he will do, and that's what the Biden.
So when he says a million-man youth brigade arresting citizens and squads of tattletale children, it's worse.
That's just for openers. In other words, he says if he says I'll cut 10% off your standard of living, he means 50 or 60% or whatever he can get. Think back to Carter. Carter campaigned saying, we have to do something about the problem of unemployment. We need jobs. As soon as he got elected, he completely reversed his field, and he said the main problem now is inflation. This led to Volcker at the Federal Reserve, the 22% prime rate, the destruction of the entire U.S. industrial base. Goes back to that. The other side of Carter was to say the energy crisis. We've got to have energy austerity, the moral equivalent of war. You guys have the malaise. Notice also similar things between Obama and Carter. They want to blame the American people for their own incompetence. That was the famous malaise speech by Jimmy Carter in July of 1979, when his entire government basically imploded. So whatever Obama says he will do much, much worse. And that will be this carbon austerity, tax increases, service cuts, forced labor, forced volunteer work, and all the rest.
Yeah, the National Compulsory Service Act, which they say isn't a draft, but it is. Webster, let's continue. Final segment is coming up here.
Ionic Zone.
Let me go ahead and go back to Webster. I don't want to waste any time. Webster, I try not to get depressed doing these shows. I know it's positive to admit the facts and really go over them. You know, I just can't stand the Obamanoids because I know they're well-meaning idiots, just like mainline Republicans. And I don't understand why people are so dumb. I don't think of myself as that smart. I think of myself as average. How can the people not understand this or not see this? I just don't understand it. It's so obvious.
Part of it is people are blinded by hatred of Bush and Cheney. And you have to think back to the tremendous damage done by Bush and Cheney to this society.
And we have to realize it's really just the elite agenda continuing, which Obama's going to throw himself on the sword for the elites as well.
Well, I mean, he is the vehicle of what they do. See, if you go through Bush and Cheney and you don't understand what's going on, you get out of this the desire to be a leftist and the desire to create a left-wing alternative. Aha! Brzezinski, schooled in the service of Hegel and this Alfred Weber and
divide and conquer.
He has a left-wing alternative for you now. An abortive phase of left cover, left sloganeering, Obama the left-wing messiah. And there's just such a hatred and resentment.
I'm sure
Cheney and everything that goes with them.
I'm sure you know that they're now actually in major newspapers calling him Jesus.
Yeah, look, that's the other thing, is that the decomposition and collapse of society has gone much further. A lot of people who looked at, you know, the Mussolini movement or the German one later would say, this is the crazed petty bourgeoisie driven wild by the crisis. In other words, people who have lost everything in the stock market collapse, and that's coming now. People who feel threatened in the, you know, every detail of their life, who live in fear of the financial crisis, and they're looking for some kind of charismatic figure who promises to take them out of despair and into hope. And this is clearly Obama. And then national rebirth, right? That they've thought of they've been ashamed of their country, and they've been full of resentment against their own government. But Obama promises somehow that in a magic process, a little bit like Carter, he'll give you a government as good and as decent and as hardworking as you think you are. So this is essentially, it's the desire to deliver some version of paradise on Earth, right? Many people have...
No, they love it. That's what you get from this new utopia film that mixes in 9/11 truth and the monetary system. That's all accurate. But then it offers this Valhalla of angel and withering away of the state and no one working in heaven. And, I mean, people love just simple bull. I want to comment on that in the final segment, Webster, and talk about...
The need to be duped.
The desire
to be duped.
Yeah, stay there. Let's talk about it. Here we go. Okay, that's Willie Nelson. You hear there in the music. He's scheduled to be on the show tomorrow. Talk about a host of issues. You'll want to join us for that. We also have Naomi Wolf on. We'll have some serious questions for her. And another big guest who predicted all this oil information. And that, of course, will be Lindsey Williams. Huge show tomorrow. Before I go back to Webster Tarpley, I want to tell you about a few sponsors. Well, number one, the books and videos sold at Infowars.com make so much of this show possible.
Another one is New Vitality, newvitality.com. You can call and get the aloe body cleanse, aloe vera, and 29 other ingredients that are really known to detoxify and clean out your GI tract. New Vitality just says all this well-documented, high-quality stuff. 1-800-569-4056. Here's the number, 1-800-569-4056. They have things like Super Beta Prostate, one of the best formulas out there, with the saw palmetto and a bunch of other ingredients, scientifically proven. I mean, even mainline doctors prescribe it to shrink the prostate and health of that. 1-800-569-4056 or newvitality.com. If you forget it, the banner's up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And then another wonderful sponsor. It's not just that we have a storable foods sponsor, eFoodsDirect.com. There's ways to store food in your own home and do it inexpensively from the store, and they teach you the secrets of that at FoodShortageUSA.com. With all the craziness coming, it's smart to have some storable food, firearms, things like that. FoodShortageUSA.com. It's just FoodShortageUSA.com. You go there to learn how to make your own storable foods for you and your family. Prepare for the road ahead. This website reveals a step-by-step way for the average guy to get prepared for what's ahead. I think the best part about the system is it gets you off the food grid, even if you don't have a lot of money to spend. The site is foodshortageusa.com. Or here's the number, 877-327-0365, 877-327-0365, 877-327-0365. The key here is being self-sufficient, not being dependent on the system. Rebroadcast starts in about 3 minutes. We're going to finish up with Webster Tarpley, but Tex Mars was on the show. A lot of key news. I also had Frank Caliendo, one of the top comedians in the country, on doing George Bush imitations. The show starts with that, the very first minute of the show, so you'll want to tune in for that on the internet rebroadcast. And of course, stations re-air this on AM and FM dial across the country. But before you close out with the eugenicist austerity carbon movement for the banks paid to them in summation, the master plan that Obama is pushing even more than McCain, which is more proof in the pudding, that has all the Wall Street funding, not McCain, more proof, tell us about your two books.
Well, one is Obama, the Postmodern Coup, The Making of a Manchurian Candidate. That I believe you have in stock, so I urge people to get it from you. That's essentially the parallels to Carter, the matrix of Obama, the trilateral Bilderberg Rand Corporation, and how the Obama campaign resembles nothing so much as the Orange Revolution in Ukraine back in 2004.
And then the new book, quickly.
Barack H. Obama, the unauthorized biography, the entire story. Foundation operative, poverty pimp, Rezko, Ouchie, Al-Samari, Ayers, Dorn, Wright.
Amazon.com and many other places. You got about 1 minute left. Webster, again, the eugenicists, the carbon tax. Explain to the left what this is.
Well, the thing for the left, I think, if you're going to have Naomi there, you got to ask her, what is the difference between a police state that's only top-down and a fascist regime? Because she's saying we're slipping into fascism. She talks about this as if this were purely a matter of the FBI and the National Security Agency. What about the hallmark of fascism, which is this movement that comes up from the gutter with left cover and radical cover and anti-authoritarian cover and pretends to be liberation from the old order? And that's fascism.
And a carbon tax. And a carbon tax paid directly to the bankers. Webster,
absolutely.
Thank you so much for being on with us.
My pleasure always.
Retransmission starts now at one place, PrisonPlanet.tv and Infowars.com. Listen to the streams there. Frank Caliendo in 1 minute. Stay with us.